height and width. And we'll try to find some heritage oaks to really help create the drama in these spaces. And then within the plaza area as well, we'll have accent trees of crepe myrtles, and we'll have pottery throughout the project. That is not something that you see on the plan. You see them here bookending the entries, and that's sort of a generic way that we'll always have with pottery. But those pots will have small Japanese maples in them. We'll use azalea trees, and we'll spill landscaping within those to really complete the planting of the pottery. So that is what we have for the trees. Did you have any questions?
I had a question going back to the water feature. If you mentioned it, I apologize.
Sure.
Will it run year round?
Yes.
Just in the
okay, no.
So the
yes.
Okay.
So it occurs to me that this would be a nice place to walk your dog, and that there will be a lot of residents who might be looking for something like that. Is there any accommodation for animals there? No, I can just see that could be problematic.
Well, on other properties, we have provided pet relief areas, mm-hmm. but in this particular, because it's mixed use,
yeah.
I would highly recommend that residential units have their own doggy relief areas. But you're right, they will probably end up on this park, and we can't police them entirely. It'll happen. It's up to management, really, on our part to make sure that we can mitigate that the best we can.
We will have dog walks up on the podiums for the dog relief and such.
Sorry. The floor elevations at all the storefronts, the restaurants, and all that are fairly close, but there's a variation of 133 to 134. Is this just going to be warped throughout, or do we have steps someplace to accommodate that change? And
so warping is what we'd like to try to avoid, as well as steps. So in this particular case, just to give you an example here, if this were to step a foot, I would more than likely ramp in this condition here. That may become a retaining wall more so than it is a bench at this current time. Ramp in here so that I can level this off with that entry. And then I would ramp through here to level this off. So there are, just coincidentally, by way of how it's designed, opportunities
okay.
to do that.
Great.
So are there walls you can sit on miscellaneously around here? You may have said something.
Yes, absolutely. Why don't I step back here a little bit? So I prepared this diagram for you just to get it. This is a use diagram, and we can just talk about it very quickly. The purple being our restaurant or F&B opportunities. The orange being our gathering area, or the pavilion that we spoke about earlier, or the dual pavilions with the covered area. The green being the lawn. The red being our plaza space. Now, as I mentioned before, we wanted to avoid to have one centralized gathering area. We look at this entire space as being our gathering space, and meandering pockets throughout where people can gather is the intent here. And then the yellow, of course, is the kids' play area. And moving along, let's see
can
here.
I come back to that last
point? Sure.
And if we're asking too many questions, you can.
No, not at all. Please.
But it almost gets out of the way. How do you foresee, okay, you have Christmas time, tree lighting and everything, and a movie gets out. What's the pattern of traffic for pedestrians? I mean, where do you see most of them parking, most of them coming and going using this plaza right?
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is that they're going to disperse, right? And the idea is have them get lost here so they can buy a cup of coffee. Have them get lost here so they can have an ice cream. So that's the idea.
Do you foresee most people are going to be parking in the big parking lot way out front, or are they going to be behind the building?
So if you look at the parking, we've got surface parking here. We've got about 400 spaces on this in this building, and we have 400 spaces in right as you come in. So this is the entry at grade.
Okay, excuse me if I'm being too technical.
Sure.
How many seats in the theater do you foresee when it's completely full?
There's about 800 seats in the theater.
Okay. Now
movies are staggered.
Yeah,
and
staggered. It's just the, you know, one of the parts of this is seeing the flow of how people are going to come.
Yeah,
well, I think the thing that is important to think about is, and what we've found, and we've spent a lot of time looking at this, is when people, you know, exit the theater, and there's an active space here, you know, we're really not trying to create a walkway out. You really want them to exit into an active space. Mm-hmm. And what that does, and we've, you know, there was a project, first project we got involved in Diego, with Diego's firm, we had a plan where we had, and we built a project like this in Portland where we have a very successful theater, and we have a street that is right in front of the theater. So people walk out, and then we have the, and in that case, which is our Bridgeport Village project, we have a center court, which is across the street. And you have to walk down a walkway. And what happens is people exit out of the theater. And if you think of, you know, how you may enjoy a space with your husband or wife or girlfriend or significant other, as you walk out, somebody may say, gee, I would like to go, let's go to the car. And if you're exiting out into just a clear pathway, you miss the whole social interaction. And so what we've really done with these spaces, and that's why the restaurants are so important and the active, because you're exiting into an active space. And that really is what drives people to want to have dinner, grab a cup of coffee, grab an ice cream, is that active socialization of that space. So that's really what we've created here, is reason for people to want to spend more time here, as opposed to maybe creating just a straight, you know, exit way.
So are the gray areas here areas where you can sit?
The purple? These areas?
Oh, no, I meant walls.
Oh, down below.
Like these areas?
Yes, those right. are built in. So I do have a plan here. Excuse me for strolling through here. So this is an overhead plan, but I want to address that comment. So in this particular area, you will see, and we've delineated this by color, the green areas are seating spaces that would be, excuse me, let me borrow that for a moment, would be more bistro-type seating. Obviously, these are the restaurants out on the edges. And then on the interior spaces would be bistro seating. And then the tan areas and red would be more soft seating. And what we'd love to try to do is, again, incorporate some of the local materials with wood furniture and metal in combination, hanging wonderful little beds from the trees and great little seating pockets that are unique. These are all artistic applications that we wanted to introduce into the project. And what you don't see, it's very faint, but you see the bench seating along 120th. We try to locate these within a 100-foot dimension. We don't want to exceed 100 feet. And so there are benches along 120th. And then what you can't see, and I apologize for that, are what you had mentioned earlier. We have built-in benches here, 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 and in multiple places, and in the kids' play area as well. So, and that's banquette-type seating like this. And then what this plan is covering, and I don't want to overshadow the architects because I do believe that they have a plan that identifies this, but one of the comments from the board was that we prepare a overhead study plan on where we plan on having shade as well as refuge. And so the purple identifies the awning solutions, and I'm saying this could be glass, wood, and as well as metal. And I let the architect speak to that. But in the red areas and the green, what I'd like to propose is a lightweight metal solution, sometimes organic, other times very traditional. That would be in these green areas, as I mentioned. And in the red, a solid application like this with T&G and recessed lighting and beautiful wood treatments.
Excuse me.
That's you.
And then the purple, the blue area here would be the only two I think we've suggested, right, Michael, is to have these two restaurants have built-out scenarios like these images that we're showing here, lightweight as well, very transparent. So that's the idea in the blue area. Okay? I think that's, we can go through 120th if you'd like. I know you've seen this before, and really this is, had been addressed earlier. You'd seen the samples on the concrete paving that we have proposed to do along 120th, and that we're going to carry through. That this is the contrasting sandblast and light wind colored concrete. You've seen the modular. The standard concrete paving will not be used anywhere where you see the public. Essentially, that's back of house. So you have the loading dock area. We'll use it at the back of house here. And then we will use it along the back side of the building here where it's necessary. Bike racks will be more in the ring scenario, more so than the, you know, grouping of bikes. The, you know, the traffic calming scenarios at all the intersections. We're proposing this colored stamped asphalt vehicular paving. And then our standard off-the-shelf site furnishings will be these benches, wood benches like this. And then our bollards will be a very unique sort of application that are also safety rated. And these have a light component as well that will be along 120th in our zero curb condition from here to here, if you all recall. Okay, and a circulation plan. This is something, Scott, that this is kind of how we thought we'd address some of the paving, the pedestrian circulation and how they might move through the space. Vehicular, as you know, and then the bike is the purple that we have dedicated on both sides of the street. And finally, we have our tree pallets. And those are really just a carryover from 120th. We didn't plan on changing the palette here. All right. Thank you so much. Oh, sure.
How deep is your water feature?
How deep is a very good question. We will be minimum 18 inches. I mean, a maximum 18 inches. Maximum.
And even the low part is raised?
Yes.
So how far is it raised?
18. So it'll be a seat wall. So if I go back to that for a moment. You know what? As a better picture here, would you mind if I take you here? So if you see this, the children there, that is 18 inches. And you can see that similar condition here. And I don't know if Jean-Paul, if you had a picture of the cascades. You could see it somewhat here. This is a different project, but something similar to this, but more contemporary, not so organic like that. You know, of course, I would love to introduce an art component to it, too. It's fascinating. The problem with that, as you know, is a little bit static. And so what we like to do is have a little bit more playfulness within the jets. And there's some wonderful things that are on the market these days that have flowers that open up. They're very beautiful and you know, basket weave type jets that are on the market now that we're really excited about and want to use.
Any questions?
One last thing. I was asked to do this, and I'd be happy to, is the connections, Evergreen and Madison. An overall site plan of them. So just to refresh everyone, we have the Evergreen Hospital connection here. And what we're proposing here is the Madison House connection. The sketches here, very quickly, were generated to address both of those. So the image to the left is identifying the essential path of travel. We are across in plan approximately 60 feet from here to here. With a slope factor, we might be roughly 65 feet. And our solution here is to have a series of terrace stairs with retaining walls that ultimately allow us to create planting pockets as we go up. And then at the Evergreen driveway, which along here helps soften that solution there. This is a fairly wide condition here, with some landscape borders and a safe path of travel as you come up that and then right into the hospital here. And we're going to take as much advantage of the landscape that's here already. You can see that it's fairly dense. We want to clean that up, obviously, and introduce landscape wherever we can.
Can I interject something?
Sure.
On the hospital property, are you coming in one level down in the parking lot where the ground level is, or are you?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to express here, okay. Explain, is right now this is a little unclear because this is the raised right. bus path. This connection goes underneath, and basically to connect to the vertical transportation, we're coming across. So actually the grass is actually comes up into here, and we're going right into the MOB parking lot and going right over to where the vertical circulation is now. So there will be even more green than what's shown right now.
So maybe you can do the next one.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn this over to Rick.
No, no, that's okay. So at the Madison House, we originally thought we were going to try to do some stairs, and we took a look at some grades and et cetera, and as it related to the pathway that we are intercepting. And what we're proposing right now is just to continue that slope and carry it down here in a gradual path connecting at this intersection, which then obviously connects down and goes onto the sidewalk portion of the upper site residential package. The other reason we avoided going south off of here is there's no room whatsoever on the other side where the hotel is now. So what we've done is we feel we've come up with something that is very nice. It blends in nicely to that grade and the hillside.
So on the steep stairs on the banks, do you have rail typically?
There will have to be code-related railing, yes. Yeah. And then platforms, obviously there's there's stops along the way. And as we were, you know, sharing, there's now tiering of the landscaping. As you asked for last time, is what can we do along that edge to make it better? And that's what Diego's worked on and done a very nice job of. One thing we've done very carefully is looked at the trees. So I met out there with arborists and made sure we put it in the right location where some of the trees were already claimed or noted as coming going out. So we have a nice little spot to cut up through. We're addressing the stairs up to the property line on our side. And when we get to the lighting plan, you'll see that there's lights associated with the stairs as well.
Now, on this picture, your actual and then the drawing look a little bit different. Does Totem Lake Way change a little bit?
Well, basically, you know, right now, yes. I mean, this whole area is reclaimed. Basically, this is where the theater sits in here. So basically, instead of it coming all the way up and around the theater, it turns around the residential building, and this becomes a nice little area of additional grass and such. And again, we don't want to do something too rash in either of these two areas just because it's such a natural setting. So we want it to blend in. You know, we've shown some additional rockery, which will depend on the actual engineering of how much rockery and how much those little retaining sections along the stairs are needed.
And this connection is going to be typical sidewalk concrete, or is it going to have any special treatment?
This one's just going to be typical concrete.
Standard gray concrete, yes.
Yeah.
Except for the crossing, of course.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
These two additional images just go into the planting more if you wanted to ask any questions specifically.
Sure, here's where we wanted to supplement some landscaping with some uprights and some ginkgos, and I think we wanted to also replace an evergreen pine that was in this location. We do thought it was important. Now, these obviously will not happen given that we're going underneath, which was I was not aware of, so everything beyond that line will be out.
Okay, I'll go ahead and proceed. This is the lighting plan that we had our engineer put together. This is similar and consistent with what we did in phase one. So basically what we're doing is carrying forward from what we approved in the Central Parking Plaza along 120th as the lower pedestrian pole, and we're carrying that into our park area. So there's a continuity between the lower and the upper as it relates to the lighting effects. We again are proposing as we go around the corner to do some more of those poles in conjunction with the sidewalk improvements over here. So again, the pedestrian pole is what we're proposing at that location, and then also at the stair location for the evergreen connection. The blue one is basically the loop road lighting. We currently are thinking we're going to try to use the fixture that we're using in the parking field, but we may go to one that's a little bit more shielded so that we protect both the residential and the Madison House from glare. So, but that's a placement. We'll continue to work with, you know, I show the one over here already, but we may work with the city to make it even a little bit more protected or shielded. Any questions on that?
You want to address this at all?
No, just tell them.
Okay. So, Alex, I'm going to have my associate, Alex, is going to come up. There were some questions that you had also in the last meeting, more technical questions about, you know, what are the variables on the color of the windows? What were our protection plan as far as overhangs? How are we screening the roof? Somebody asked about, you know, what type of screening we were having with the garages. And then also we addressed the parking entrance on Totem Lake Way. So I'm going to have Alex go through those.
Thanks, Michael. Good evening, everyone. So I'm quickly kind of brush through all these different responses that were brought up on the previous DRB. So this sheet right here kind of addresses the overhead weather protection plan, and the idea is to have continuous coverage along 120th as well as in the pedestrian circulation within the plaza space. The intent is to create a variation of different overhead conditions along the sidewalk on 120th, giving it kind of like a distinct alternative, you know, design features within the retail component of 120th, as well as the plaza space. And Diego touched up on the other elements within the public plaza as it relates to the pavilions and the different outdoor conditions for the restaurants and all that. So all in all, you know, the idea is to really create a nice variation of design features within, you know, the realm of the same language, but it creates a really nice kind of rhythmic variation along the entire pedestrian experience. Any questions on this slide?
A number of the glass ones don't appear to be guttered in any way. Does water just spill off the edges or back toward the building? And
well, yeah, I mean, those would be either, you know, it would be either shedded or, you know, in some instances it would have to have some sort of gutter. But, I mean, you know, we will kind of have to develop the details once we, you know, further implement the design on these.
I mean, like A2 right there where you're...
This one right here, yes. Yeah. This would be shedded down towards the street.
So it water just spills off and hits bicyclists or hits, I mean, what does it do?
You would only do that condition if you had a planter area. You wouldn't want it to. So if you did have a non-guttered canopy, it would drip into a planter.
Okay.
It wouldn't drip it on the sidewalk. And I'd say most of these will have a gutter system, but we don't want them all to look the same,
right,
or it'll get monotonous and boring. And so we would have a variety of different canopy types.
Okay.
This exhibit is actually similar to what we did in the phase one, which is we put together a series of images to show where and how we wanted to mix up the different types of canopies and awnings so that there was a mix and an architectural theme. This is what we did in Building A. This is what we're going to be doing in Building C. This is the same thing. Each of these retail tenants will live up to the same criteria that we established in the beginning of the project. So the storefronts will adhere to the same criteria of either what we show or better. If they come back with something new, we meet with staff and we determine what needs to come back to the DRB if necessary. And the same thing, we're already in a process of working with the staff with building B as an example, where we are literally mixing it up just a little bit, but it's the same philosophy. We have a limited number of canopies. We're very particular about the quality of canopies, and as you mentioned and John Paul talked about, the guttering is very critical to us. So this is the same exhibit basically that we will be using going forward.
So are you
We think it's about 90-95% correct, because a lot of this, especially where you see the steel and glass canopies, we're doing that. So it's only when we are dealing with specific tenants that come in and say, you know, here's our image, here's our marketing, here's what we want, and we might say, okay. And what I'll do is I'll say, I'm going to move that one type of awning over here and swap it out with something else. So the mix is generally the same. But we definitely want the mix. We don't want a whole series of any one certain thing. It just deters from the project.
And are the C items, is that a canvas awning, or is it a, what material is that?
We do allow for some canvas awnings, and some of those awnings could actually be metal or something otherwise. But it's part of the fabric. We need a little bit of that, and we definitely will watch the quality of it and the material itself. But yes, we are allowing for some canvas.
Okay, I'll move along. The next item would be a response to the roof screening of the mechanical equipment. So the proposed scheme right now is to create a 6-foot high wall that would protect and screen off the mechanical equipment happening on the roof level, and that would be treated with the hardy board cementitious panel along the entirety of those the screening elements. That way, it you know, protects from views from the existing MOB and the Madison House towards the east. The next response was in relationship to the interior courtyards of the residential component. It was brought up that the courtyards had a kind of monotonous feel with sameness and coloration. So the intent is to create a differentiation with the color palette. You know, we're same as we're doing with the plaza with the earth tones. We want to create a likeness in the interior of the courtyards, and we will have a variation of coloration as well as the texturing and modulation of the hardy board panel that will be used within those courtyards. Sure, go ahead.
And I think we have asked this, but just to reiterate, we're not using white vinyl.
No, I have a sheet that actually will address that portion of it. And essentially, I don't know if this is, yeah, I'll keep going. Let me go to that sheet. So this is addressing that concern, Scott. We have found a vinyl window manufacturer that has a different color palette, and I actually have a dark bronze treatment to the vinyl window. It's pretty similar to the kind of like the darkish treatment that we're showing on our renderings. So we're comfortable that we can achieve a similar look with a vinyl product. So let me go to the previous one. This response is in relationship to the entry to parking along Totem Lake Way. This is the previous design that we showed on the last presentation, showing the 48-foot wide opening with two in, two out for the parking. And the proposed scheme is creating a two in, one out condition, minimizing by roughly 10 feet on the entry. I do want to point out, and it was noted that, you know, the units adjacent to the entry would have, you know, some issues with sound, so we further enhanced that by creating noise buffers with planting along the edge of the entry here, and you know, we feel that this is, you know, a much better solution when it comes to the egress ingress of Totem Lake Way, obviously minimizing that opening. Garage screening and parking garage door details obviously was also addressed, and the intent is, and you know, we showed one image, but in concept, what we wanted to achieve is creating a different articulation in the perforation of the screening, and you know, by changing the circular perforations on the screen and varying them in sizes, we create a nice kind of alternation and kind of more of an artistic expression on the garage doors, as well as the, you know, we can create different perforations on the screen for the garage screens to create variation in those as well. And finally, also was noted the change in grades and elevations along 120th, and we did want to address that. You know, the way we will deal with the slope change is, you know, creating some sort of storefront steps along the different retail frontages to mitigate that slope change and differential along the sidewalk and street. And with that, you know, we open it up to questions or comments you might have. Thank you.
More questions directly to the applicant from the board that we haven't? I mean, we kind of jumped in with all the other questions going through it, which is fine. But
can you show us the screen that you're, did you bring a sample?
There is a sample in the material work right there, Scott.
So it's going to be.
We're showing that. I mean, the actual finish on the metal itself, I mean, we might have it be more kind of brushed or, you know, but it just depends on how we want to treat that. But the intent is that the perforation on the screen may vary in size, so we have a variation of perforations on that. The aperture, exactly.
Any other questions at all? Okay. Well, go ahead, Dave.
I wonder... it would be helpful for me if you could just swing around the project and show, for instance, where brick is used, just to get...
Sure. Let me pull up the model. So we'll do a fly through of the whole thing. Brick will be used primarily along 120th. I'll start it up here. So we'll incorporate brick along kind of like these vertical elements here, and also on kind of like a lower tiered residential component as it relates to Totem Lake Way. And also, you know, the introduction of metal panel to the other kind of more, the green olive on the other vertical elements there with hardy board, kind of like the gray hardy board within different portions of that to create more of a, kind of like a background color condition for the enhanced materials. As we turn the corner on 120th, we would have the brick carrying down where the parking entrance, the parking structure is, and also creating kind of like a vertical expression where the entrance to parking would be. And then along 120th, we would have a variation of metal panel, hardy board, brick, metal panel as well, and then the stone tile that flanks either side of the plaza. Michael kind of talked about the theater materials with the stone tile, the metaling, and the glass, and then the kind of like the larger expressions where parking entrances and lobby entrances for residential would be of the metal, and then on the northern portion of 120th, we have the stone tile, the brick, metal, and then the glass with metal that kind of caps either corner, you know, each of the two main entries along 120th. So that's the kind of like the swath of material conditions that happens, you know, on the kind of like the more public realm of the project.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure. By creating the theater itself, we are creating opportunities to create patio spaces for the residents up on these units. We did not want to further, you know, kind of more articulate these because we wanted to create a more of a focal experience for the main focal point, which would be the theater. So these become kind of like more of a kind of like a secondary element to the main event that is a theater with the vertical expression.
And we do have actual sections cut through the packet so you can see how the building steps back.
Correct.
Well, and okay, so right where that hand is, that whole wall back there on the theater is a green wall.
Yes.
Can we back up wall. A second? Because, I mean, this came together so quickly, but I'm not sure, I mean, that's going to be so high up in the air, I'm not sure at the end of the day that that's really where we're going to want to spend the dollars to put a grant. I mean, it's going to be, so, I mean, these projects are all constrained by dollars, and, from our standpoint, I think we'd rather spend the dollars on big trees that everyone's going to be able to really appreciate, as opposed to, 80 feet in the air, or how tall is that?
Well, the reality, in fairness, the reality is, if you go down to the street level, you really can barely see it. I mean, that is a fair comment. We were trying to respond, as the architects, to the design review board, but the reality is that you'd have to be, probably 1,000 yards away.
It's difficult to maintain up there, and it's going to be expensive, and so I would like to kind of look at it from the standpoint of, is that really the best, from a project standpoint, is that the best place to do that where it'll have very limited appreciation, I think, for a lot of people.
But I do think this is pretty accurate on how you would see, at the street level, how you would see it.
Sorry, Doug.
So if you didn't do the green wall,
what would you do? Would we be stuck with a cinder block wall back there?
I think we could finish it in...
you could do it in hardy board.
Fiber board or metal panel. I think there's a lot of finishes we could do that wouldn't go to the extent of a... and again, if you look at this view, even if you rotate around the park, I just think it's so high up there.
How far back is that wall from the face of the theater?
It's about 35 to 40 feet.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
And where that wall is, if you had, you were saying you'd have, deck space or something like that up there for residents? Is that on the, so they'd be pretty much right up against that wall, or they'd be able to, I was just making sure I had that clear in my head, that where that deck or patio space would be, right there.
Yeah.
It would be butting up then against the wall, basically.
No, it would be further back, but yeah, I mean,
oh, okay. It's 35
feet. Yeah, it's 35
feet. It's 35 feet back.
This is one unit here, so, potentially they there are opportunities to create patio space for them here. So, the wall's there, but it's further back.
I mean, to John Paul's point, unless you're just being a purist, even if it was in block, you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't even, if it was and I'm not suggesting it is going to be in block, but... if it was a burnished block or something like that, it would. You probably couldn't even tell the material from
when
that
you're
distance.
Sitting in this park, there's going to be so much happening in terms of. I just don't think that's going to be the area that. There's so much happening in the program in terms of all the landscaping, the trees, and then the view of the theater.
And is there some sort of, maybe I missed it earlier when we were looking at it, is there some sort of landscaping there, right where the railing is, up where that, there?
Yes, the idea is to create, planter conditions for the deck space for the terraces on the theater, mm-hmm. and, potentially for the patio decks for the residents over there.
Is there any opportunity to enhance that even more so that you really, to help
kind of goes away,
push that, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, still doing something with it, but
I mean, Diego, I mean, in fairness, it'd probably be a potted type situation
do it. It's hard for me not knowing what it is, but if it were me, I'd say that I'd want to make that an amenity deck so that I can view down onto the garden, and I'd take the planter back and maybe have a nice tall hedge to mitigate.
Well, if you kind of activate that space more too, it's kind of a win-win for everybody, maybe.
Absolutely.
And you said that the kind of the center light well stands about 6 feet proud of kind of the flanks?
Yes. So one is deeper than the other, and if I recall, I think both right now are shown as 6 feet for the terrace, but we would have to further develop this with the theater architect. to determine, you know, what their needs are for the theater lobby space, mm-hmm. and determine, you know, the depth on those terraces.
And do you have any other additional kind of information about the light fixtures? Have those been chosen, or are those just a placeholder?
It, right now, it's the intent is to create, you know, more of an artistic expression for the kind of like the hanging lights. It hasn't evolved, you know, past the concept right now. So, but obviously that will be further developed. But the idea is, you know, you really capture these kind of open spaces, one being of, you know, one height and the other being kind of more of a changing hierarchy. The concept was to create kind of like an asymmetrical condition and create more of a kind of like a variation of the two, holding it with those kind of artistic hanging lights.
What's interesting to me is everything else is very, very symmetrical, and then we have this one asymmetrical building, and I'm wanting to see more asymmetry throughout the project, or to have that be symmetrical. I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
Yeah.
I think, well, to kind of respond to that comment, we kind of, you know, the concept within the whole project is to create an asymmetry and a kind of like a playfulness within the kind of like the architecture and how we treated the volumes of the different residential components. So, you know, in keeping with that line, you know, the idea is to create the similar expression, you know, on that theater component.
Well, within the plaza area itself, both the right and the left are pretty symmetrical.
Right, and so the intent was to kind of bring back that kind of asymmetrical playfulness that we're doing along 120th, and kind of, you know, do a similar take on that.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the asymmetry is really important because it's a response also to the park that Diego, the plaza that he's designing, because you're right, it flanks symmetrically, but just like the plaza, which has a center point, the actual cinema is center point, but the plaza starts to become asymmetrical as you move away from the center. And we're doing the same thing with the theater. And I think it has a stronger reaction to the plaza. That's why we did it.
I think the tension is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think this is the strongest theater design we've seen so far.
These were a further evolution, Brad, of what, you know, the previous DRV, and Diego showed some images of what those pavilions might be. You know, the actual expression of these might be more of a kind of like the intent of what that will happen.
And they will be very, you know, a lot of those buildings get designed with the tenant in hand, depending if it's a coffee use or a wine bar.
Correct.
The opening, the seating areas, the counter will differ depending on the use. But we do have some images of representative.
Just for fun, sure. Can you walk us around the park since you do have it?
Sure. Where do you want to start off, Scott?
Where are you going?
This will give you a good idea of sort of the seating components that we talked about a little bit earlier and how we've mixed it up with banquette seating. So here you have banquette seating along the street. I would suggest we put planters along. It won't always be the back of the banquette to the pedestrian or the ladies there. Mm-hmm. We will break it up with planters. And so if you can go ahead, Alex. And so now you make your left turn here. You can see on your left-hand side, stop a little bit. This is where we talked about a little bit of a grade change. But regardless, we have, you know, seats that are built in with, you know, natural materials and mosaics and wonderful details. And then to your right, we have, you know, the communal seating, and the two pavilions, whether they're walk-up or there could be a bar component like that. These are out of my head. The idea that, you know, you have a roll-down scenario here, or you have, you know, it could be open, it could be enclosed. There's a number of things, but looking at the details, it's lightweight, has some glass components, has a simple canopy to it, so, you know, it feels open.
Would the covered seating part of it be always be available regardless of
yes.
any of the tenants being open
yes.
to businesses there? Okay.
Always. And we'll probably pop a couple of skylights in that covered area. We're mm-hmm. still looking at, you know, how to keep it open mm-hmm. and light during the, you know, all times of year.
Mm-hmm.
The two restaurants that flank that theater lobby, how do we get into those? Is it internally from the pedestrian
the
entrance?
Exterior. It's the exterior.
Yeah. From either
not,
side. Yeah.
The door to the left there, to the left of the tree, I think that's probably where it goes.
Okay.
But you can see from this view, I think it was Scott's question earlier, where all the people go. It's really pretty ample space here.
And, you know, I think one of the things we mentioned is just creating this gathering space. So if you can envision a stage in the middle of the turf area, you will see people sitting around the fountain, sitting at all the tables and chairs. And a lot of times we'll set up, VIP seating. A lot of times we'll let schools sell VIP seating for concerts. Typically our concerts are free, but we do let nonprofits sell, VIP seats for certain events. For trying to raise awareness for a school or school fund. So it's a very community-based.
Maximum of a couple of hundred square
feet. Yeah, how many square feet is that turf area?
I want to say it's about 3,000.
So it's not small.
You can see the upper raised area.
Play structure we're still developing. It will probably be something a little bit more unique than what you're seeing in the model. And we're really working very hard to create, unique play structures that are, things that kids like to do for a pretty diverse age group.
With all those walls around the planting, et cetera, the only real seating wall is around the water feature?
The water feature inside the kids, near the shade structure there.
Okay.
They are scattered throughout. And of course, we'll add benches and then other seating like that too.
Is that good, Scott?
Yeah.
That helps. This SketchUp model is wonderful, by the way. Just from my perspective.
I'm surprised you didn't want to just present it because you put that much effort into it.
Yeah.
We were. Yeah, you just beat us to it, Scott.
I have a question. The package has a bunch of rendered, especially in 120th, rendered images of the, I'll just call them the bolt-on balconies, that appear to be just some very simple vertical baluster elements to it. And then the detail piece in there has a much, much more dense, opaque, wire grid element to it.
Right. Let me flip back to the DRB package, but the intent is to create a variation on the treatment of the balconies. What would have happened is that the renderer, just had like a generic balcony that was put in there, but the intent is to create alternative treatments to the railing for the balconies, and I believe we've showed a few options on that.
And they are typically bolted on with tension elements rather than they're not cantilevered out with the steel.
That would depend on the actual treatment and constructability, but I'm assuming that would be either bolted or can. It just depends on the constructability.
Okay. Would you mind one last time while you've got the SketchUp model up? We've never seen the backside of this building. Can you show us what it would look like from, say, up on the hospital or?
So we purposefully put in these trees because they're actually there. And from the MOB, let me try and see if I can hide them so we can kind of show, you know, the treatment of the actual building. There will be a variation of hardy board panel conditions, and you know I talked about how we would kind of have a variation in textures mm-hmm. for the hardy board and coloration on that, as well as you know the different articulations of the balconies. So this would be kind of like the northern portion of the project. We do have parking along the kind of like the ground or the street level on that fire loop road. And then, you know, as we go up, we would have the hardy board for the residential. We would have a treatment of hardy for the backside of the theater's component. We have open structure and railing for the parking. And then again, that kind of similar variation, texture, and coloration for the courtyards on the residential component. And then kind of looping back towards Totem Lake Way. But, you know, in reality, you know, let me turn these back on. You know, this will be, for the most part, really nicely treated with all and flanked with all these trees. So that, I think that's, you know, important to note because, you know, the visibility to the project in some instances would be minimal because of those trees.
So what if you were looking at this from the top floor of the hospital pavilion, the building right next door?
Right.
You'd be quite a bit lower. You wouldn't, isn't that right?
Yes, but, you know, we still have those chief canopies that are actually...
Oh, no, I know that, but you wouldn't just see as much roof as you're showing here, would you?
No.
Well, and if you remember what we did with the roof, the screens, we tried to make it more uniformly designed. That's why we've gathered all the, you know, the mechanical into certain sections, not just spread it across the roof.
Correct.
Thank you. I hadn't seen the back of the building yet.
So we would love to see an approval tonight.
Now, you mentioned the parking on the backside was open. What about parking screening facing the bank and also on the north end?
Let me flip to it. We do have screening on those elevations, and let me bring up the one of the renderings. I believe it's shown in the rendering. So the idea is that we do have, I apologize, it looks lighter in the in my screen here than in the rendering up here, but, you know, we would have a variation of openings with the brick along that kind of bank orientation. So we would have a combination of the brick and the metal perforation along the entirety of that. So we are screening completely, you know, the parking. Similarly, along a portion of the northern end of the project.
Is the plan to vary the aperture similar to the roll-up?
Yes.
You know,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Any other questions? I have one real last-minute, just for my own information, picky question on the backside road, the ramps into and out of the various levels of the garage, some of them seem really, really steep. Are we climbing and losing that much? So like on A2.1?
I think we're, you know, within the 15% slope range on those.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. But yes, obviously we will weave within, you know, the
I know there's break in and break over angles, but it seemed like one of them you're covering almost 6 or 7 feet, and it looks like about really quick. That one right there in the upper right there.
This right here.
Yeah. And even the one to the right looks like it's just
Yeah, that's a 15%. We're doing a combination of 5 and 15% on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll trust that they're doable for anything other than a short wheelbase. It is a break-in and a break-over angles, but
yeah.
Still, it's it. Okay, that's all I had. Anybody else with questions directly? With none, I would open it up to the public, the audience, to comment specifically on this project. And just please step to the podium and give us your name and address. And try to keep it to 3 minutes, but we're...
Oh, I'll take that one.
Okay.
Hi. My name is Larry Kilbright. I live at 13125 Northeast 128th Place in Kirkland, up in Total Lake. So I still don't understand that. I apologize to you all because I'm just not sharp enough. But the map that shows the going up to Evergreen and shows the stairs coming down, at the end of the map it says parking. Is that parking meaning into that parking garage?
Yeah.
So it does end up in the parking. So anybody that's going up the hill is going to have to go through the parking garage to go up those stairs?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
I'm still uncomfortable with that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Hearing none, I will close that portion of the elements. Do we want to just jump right into deliberation rather than take a break? We'll probably take a break after we finish this before Varese. So... Scott, Brad, you want to jump in first? Either one?
Well, I think that from all of our comments in the last few meetings, they've really added to the project and they've hit all the details we've asked for. At this point, if we push anything further, I feel like I'd be designing it myself. The only thing that I'd like to see more detail on is the pavilion buildings, you know, because those can really help define that space. And we saw those. And at Park Place, those were really developed for us, and so I'm not so sure. I'd like to see those a little further, but all the other, you know, pieces of the design, they've responded well to.
Okay, Scott.
I think they've done a bang up job. I mean, it really is good. I'm uncomfortable with that back wall on the theater. It's. We don't know what it is, and you know the first part of the presentation said, "Oh, it's a green wall," which I'm not really in favor of a green wall because what I pictured up there was it's going to look great when it's first done, and then it's going to be a brown wall, which happens very regularly with green walls. But and it is true from the park, it's not going to be very visible. Where it is going to be very very visible is 405 because that's the corridor looking directly down the project. I think it's a disservice. We can't just allow a big blank wall. There is a huge blank wall in the back, which we haven't looked at in any of these deliberations. And yes, it's hidden by trees, but one of our directives is there's no backs to projects. And that was kind of shocking to see the back of the theater. So that's another area that I'm a little uncomfortable with. I think it can be broken up a little better. I mean, even with the changing of the way the hardy board is placed, I'm not saying it needs brick. I'm not saying it needs, but it just seemed in that flyby, it was very, you know, when the trees all lose their leaves, is it going to be visible? So that's something to think about. And it's, no, that's not a deal breaker, but the front wall with the theater, kind of for me is. I also have a little bit question having a play area right next to a water feature that's, you know, it's iffy. Yes, it's a playful thing, but if I were a parent, I wouldn't appreciate that very well. The slide goes right directly towards the water feature. So that's something else to kind of look at. But I mean, I think that if they are comfortable with it, they're the owners of the project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Not a deal breaker. We did ask that they would break up somehow the flatness of the residential behind the theater, and that wasn't done. In the mock-up that they showed us,
the railings look dark on, and that broke it up enough for me. In our package, they're similar in tone as mm-hmm. the, just one little detail like that would break it up enough for me to have a change of, so it's not a monochromatic wall behind. It's just that surround of the theater that, that bothers me right now, and that not knowing what the outcome is, and yeah, I'd be really disappointed if we got a party, you know, wall back there. Yes, if they had giant planters with trees, great. I would actually sign off on that. If there was anything else, then let's leave it as a gray area. We don't know what it is.
I'll throw in my two bits on that. If let's say it's visible from 405, and that's one of the key places that you see the theater front wall, is it just simply color could change it, or does it have to be a depth factor to it, or you know what I'm saying? If you're not close to it, what's to say you couldn't do it with just?
Can we ask him to pull it up from 405 to that wall?
Well, let's pull it up.
Okay.
Maybe what we're going to be looking at, because yeah. we're kind of speculating.
Well, that's true.
It would be nice to know what material is actually going on that wall.
Alex is. I mean, you can go back on SketchUp before the model chokes a little bit, I think.
When we got into the discussion on that, I like the idea they threw out there too, saying we'll push those planters back and activate the space up towards the front.
Front of it.
And, you know, that's it activates that space a little nicer and also put some plantings maybe closer to the wall to help mitigate that sight line.
That's a little hard. That's a global perspective.
Yeah.
I want to be accurate.
Yeah.
About 1,000 feet from the 405, give or take.
Well, and as you're driving past, you're going to
you
have
can't
to
even
really
see
look.
It.
Well, I think the overpass is where you have the ability, you're up high enough mm-hmm. to see a little bit higher than the, because you'll be looking but down on the parking lot at that point.
Even then, you'd have to be
but
catching it between the building, you know, phase
yeah.
one. Or
the only
I mean,
place I think is going to be visible from is from the upper floor apartments
that, was
that are across the street. I don't
point.
Think you'll see it from 405.
Yeah.
And guys, could I just, honestly, I don't think the wall is that big when you look at the scale of the project. I mean, the wall, it's about 20 feet high maybe, I think we're talking about. And I'm going to say it's, what is it, about 50 feet? Probably by 50 feet, but you're going to see it, as you're suggesting, always at angles. You're never going to see yeah. it straight on. And when you look at the overall scale of the project, I just don't. And I do believe with paint, which we're going to paint it. I mean, what you know, I mean, it's going to be painted. So mm-hmm. it, you're not going to, I think we'll be, you know, we want it to look good too. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not, you know, we'll make sure it looks good for you. No, I do appreciate what you're saying, Scott, but, I mean, in all candor, I get a blank wall, but it is a – it's a theater. It's a mass. You know, you're dealing with a solid mass, and I just think because it's back behind the theater, and I think we saw it when we stepped at the, down on the plaza and looked up, you just don't read it. But that's – you know, it's your prerogative, but I really think we should be okay.
No, part of this right now. Even the theater, you know, what was the marquee went up a little higher or something. So,
We did look at that, Scott. Part of the problem is we looked at one that raised it up, but it just looked out of scale. You know, one option maybe to just put a mural on that wall. It's not as
Michael,
it's not a very large wall. Yeah, sure. We're going to show you the section of the theater too. Might be worthwhile for you to see it.
I don't think it would take very much to convince me of some kind.
You know, the as we said, you know, one of the issues is it's so far away. We could put a lot of finish to it and that you probably wouldn't read. So maybe if we did a mural, you know, you'd be able to see it as something different.
So there you go. See that. I think that's a good, gives you a good idea. So, you know, to the back, to the right, is the wall. And then you see, as you go to the left, the actual. So it's pretty well mitigated. It's just peeking through. And Scott, we could probably put texture on the wall at very little expense, but I'm saying this honestly as an architect, I don't believe you'll read the texture from the distance. I just don't see it.
So.
No, I'm just saying, I don't. I just think it's a waste of money to put, you know, I just don't think you'll ever see it.
I think you would read a mural, but.
Yeah.
But I mean, never if we're going to spend the money to do it on a mural, because I think if you put texture on it, it's just.
No. Possible. I mean, I kind of agree with Nolan that if the deck or, you know, outdoor space there is in front of it, you know, I think it doesn't become too big an issue.
And you got some planters and that behind it help, you know, break it up even more. I mean,
too, and that the people up there are going to be, it's going to be more oppressive to them than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So would that whole area be a deck?
No, we don't know yet. That, in all candor, right now it's a roof.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We haven't worked with Fairfield, who is the residential developer on this yet, to determine whether or not we'll have patios off it or it'll just be a roof there. So it may or may not be, you know, actually, you know, like you may not be sitting out there. Right now it's a roof.
And you
at this current.
You would need the whole thing, I guess, to be a patio, just that little portion that's coming right out to the where you would be looking down then into the public area there.
Aren't
you know, even just that little
already?
Bit would, because that's kind of where you can see through,
we're
right, between
the
marquee and the adjacent.
I think we're already stepped back right there.
We could, are we, where the planters are? Where he's talking about is at the top, where the planters are, I believe.
So
right here. Is that where you're talking about?
Yeah. I was just saying in that. If just that area even was the
I don't,
not necessarily the whole
I,
back
that's,
area.
That's
there.
Pretty benign. That's really easy to do because we have to create a parapet there anyway. I mean, that's pretty easy to do. And I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah.
And that could help even with maybe a little bit bigger trees, but they'd have to be in pots, not, you know, we're not going to create a structural roof for that. Mm-hmm. We understand. We'll make sure that it's artfully done and tastefully done.
Carolyn, would you?
I'm really pleased with the plaza and the way that the soft lines really provide a counterpoint to all the hard edges in this project. I think that's really successful. So to me, that gives me a lot of confidence in the project to see that space has been really solidly thought out. I agree with the speaker who, I mean, it concerns me. I don't think it's a really great solution to have that connector from the hospital going into the parking garage. I don't know that there's a way around it, but that I find disturbing too. And I think they did a really nice job and a thorough job to responding to our comments. And, you know, overall, I think we've come a long, long way.
Nolan?
I'm pretty much in agreement with what everyone else has said. I was just looking at the kind of some of the items here in our little form that we were going to kind of walk through the I think the public plaza is, I like it better than the last one that we were looking at. When I saw, or they called it out as an active water feature or interactive or something like that, I was thinking something along the lines of like what they're doing at Park Place or Kirkland Urban, I guess, now, you know, where it's, you can still walk through that area if, you know, it's just a little thing. So for kids, say, if it is adjacent to a playground in the summer months while kids,
it's intentionally designed for kids to go play in. And then in the winter when people are pretty much sick of looking at water anyhow, you know, it shuts off and maybe that makes it kind of a dead space or not, I don't know. But that was kind of the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it on the layout. I thought, oh, that'd be real neat, especially next to the kids area. But, you know, overall I don't really have any real heartache over it other than that. And I know this is a real ticky-tacky thing, but we're talking about the awnings. And anything that sloped towards the sidewalk would be very annoying in the winter with that shedding water right out into a pathway. And the canvas still is something I would have some heartache with, because it's on the western side of the building, so it's either going to fade in the summer months or become its own sort of green wall science experiment in the winters if you get, you know, mm-hmm. if you get growth there. So it's kind of a deadly combination in the Northwest. But I don't doubt, though, that they have experience with canvas. This is not the first rodeo with canvas awnings. Yeah. But from the uninitiated like myself, that raised a red flag for me.
To the extent that there look like very few of the canvas proportionally, mm-hmm. But it definitely doesn't get gutted. It spills right off of that, not very far out typically as well. Dave?
I think the proponents have been responsive to our concerns and they've done a good job. So I don't have any final comments, except for a picky one. I personally don't like the olive green on the Hardy board over there. The olive green on the metal is okay, but I think the olive green on the Hardy board is a little unfortunate.
Too olive? Too dark? Or too low a value? Is that?
To me, it's not an attractive color, but that's to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Others? Board, we haven't talked about the color of the materials at all, other than some of the paving. And
well, I think that to argue against Dave, that the green is a nice counterpoint to the brick, though. Mm-hmm. And
it's just that particular hue that strikes me. But that's
to the extent that it's not lit up with bright, bright sunlight, it's going to appear, you know, grayish, brownish, blackish, and are, you know, cloudy. There will be a texture difference, obviously, from the brick to the fiber panels. But that's a good point. Anything else? Okay. I kind of agree with Brad. If we bring this back again and again, we're going to be designing it rather than just responding to it. I do like the revised plaza. I think it really heard what we were talking about, but yet I understand how they don't want to make a straight shot path. They want people to be meandering and pulling out their credit card again and again here and there, which is a very good thing to have happen, from the people doing the businesses there. A number of things are going to be sort of that they're saying to us, trust us. And I think I'm of a mind to say, yeah, I think we can probably trust them. We've seen again and again examples of previous projects of theirs that, you know, turned out looking like they're just fine. I mean, they work well. They're obviously successful. They've done a number of them up and down the West Coast, certainly. So I don't know if it's, do we trust them to just leave some of these things that we don't have to come back, or do we say that the board or that the staff can, when it's submitted for, you know, permit application at that time, if staff says, yeah, we think they responded to what the board was talking about, but we won't require another visit.
Those two things I feel comfortable in terms
we'll let the applicant go back, design it with a permit, and then check in with the design board just to
if it,
confirm that it's.
Right.
Or even just.
Okay.
Can even be an administrative review based on the discussion.
But if you want to look at it, that's certainly an option, but keep in mind you wouldn't really have any decision authority, but you could certainly influence the project.
Right. The other one, and Scott brought it up, was the backside of the theater as a blank wall, and it's deadly blank. And yes, it is the backside, and we do our charges to, you know, never treat it like it's a hidden backside.
Well, part of it is that we haven't really been presented with the backside.
No, but it's pretty understandable. It's the back of a theater. They're not going to be putting in lots of modulation and variations. It's going to be, you know, the backside, and that's about it.
I will say, 7 years on the board, that's the blankest wall I've ever seen.
True.
And just to comment on that, so typically the blank wall treatment, we usually focus on visibility from the public realm.
From the pedestrian. Yeah.
Pedestrian-oriented streets, right. Sidewalks, parks. So I would say let's kind of.
Is building to building qualify?
I know in the, not necessarily, no. Meaning right of way. So public realm in terms of the streets, parks, right of way. Usually from private property to private property, the board has not typically looked at that. I know you've commented on it in the past and the designers have certainly responded, but in terms of writing the staff report and the finding of the authority there, I think it'd be a little difficult.
And certainly an access drive on the backside doesn't even qualify as a right-of-way or a public. Okay. I mean, to the extent that they are now having to hide, not having to, but they hide blank facades on Fred Meyer's and tilt-up concrete buildings just by miniature little, you know, 6 and 8 inch, plane changes with just, you know, furring and things like that. You can start to hide and disguise tall, tall walls pretty easily. Whether or not it's even worth it, I don't know. I mean, given the fact that we don't have, you know, it's not a pedestrian street or.
Or maybe to Scott's point, you know, I said even if it's just the same materials, just at least some change in pattern or color or something, you know, something that essentially doesn't cost anymore. But,
It sounds like it's
better than nothing, maybe. But.
It's not stucco, it's hardy panels, it's fiber cement panels with reveals and paint. If I'm not incorrect, is that what we're talking?
Yes,
so changing the paint color, whether to do it in a parfait striping or, you know, I don't know.
I would encourage.
Guys, we can work on that. We can work on that.
So we
so
can, that could be
we,
something.
I don't think that we need to say, hey, it needs to be modulated or any articulated any differently, but I think the intent is there needs to be just something back there. That if it is visible through the trees at all in the wintertime, there's a breakup of the wall, and that can be done with color.
Okay.
So if we if you were to condition it, it could be something to the effect they could utilize the proposed material palette and color palette to create more of a visual interest along that facade. So at least they're still within the same scope of what's being proposed.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that would. That one wall on the movie theater, if they did something to make it not one solid wall, I would sign off on it. On the front.
By making it a plane change?
Not even a plane change, even if it was a color change or if it was a difference in material or something.
Okay.
Just so I'm scared that we're going to get a solid hardy wall and it will be one of those projects where we go, yeah, we didn't think it was going to be visible, but I'm in the parking lot and it's very visible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, again, if it's paint's fairly easy to redo or change even after the fact. To just whether it's trompe l'oeil or something where you're just faking the eye with something, you know, silly, or if it's even a piece of branding for the. Theater, not necessarily signage.
They said, hey, we'll put a mural, great. But I just don't want to see this. Because there's so much interest through the whole project
the gate in, you know, the first phase, that's going to be, you know, the service entry. That was the biggest blank wall we had on the lower mall, and I think they've addressed that pretty well. So I have to trust them to figure out some way to not have that one stand out.
The last thing we're going to want is to be driving down 405 and see some unappealing wall.
But from 405, it'll be a tiny, tiny unappealing wall that hopefully people aren't
spending. But I would say even from the people who have those corner units there looking directly at the wall, or people in a distant parking lot, there are views of it.
A movie screen.
Another movie screen.
Outdoor movie screen for the people in floors 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I know Susan couldn't be here, and we didn't get any comments from her. John, did you get anything? Okay. So, board, what do we feel comfortable giving it a Carolyn?
I do.
Yes.
I trust the designers to follow through with their comments.
Okay.
And if it does get to that, and John says, "Oh, this doesn't," from what the notes and review of the meeting, then we can always, we still have another chance to catch it if it really does go that way.
Okay.
So I feel comfortable.
One last thing, I know that was the speaker commented on it. What sort of interface will this have to have with the hospital people to punch through their concrete half wall and whatnot when that happens?
So definitely there will need to be coordination with Evergreen Health, and hopefully that those discussions, design progresses per plan. Now, if not, then there's they'll have to come back with some sort of modification, and then at that point, staff will have to determine whether or not the board needs to review that.
Okay.
So,
have you received any communication back from the hospital based on meeting that connection?
We've shared it with them, and we came to the conclusion that this is probably the most cost effective as it relates to there. Right.
Are you all comfortable with it going to the
it's only place. It's not really.
We've continued to meet.
Yeah, I guess I didn't quite understand it.
Go ahead.
We've continued to meet with Evergreen Hospital on a repeat basis, and this is a scheme that we basically agreed upon that we're taking on the bulk of the cost, but we're stopping at the property line, and they're going to take it beyond that. As it relates to that final negotiation of that, that's yet to come. But ultimately, the one thing I'll note is the stairs stop at the property line at the top of the hill, and they have a flat area basically for their sidewalk to go over. And the little stem wall that needs to be cut out is literally maybe 18 inches high to get right through and go over to where the vertical transportation is. So we don't have a firm deal, but they do understand their obligation and are under our obligation.
Okay. So you've made some notes on what we will pass off to the staff in terms of the things you've mentioned.
Yeah, so to clarify, certainly staff will review it. So the question is, so let's say it truly is an administrative decision. Does the DRB still want to review the materials, or you would like to just leave it with staff?
I'm comfortable leaving it with staff.
Okay.
Me too.
Agree. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Move to approve? Is that our next step?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve Village of Totten Lake, Phase 2 Upper Mall. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It is done.
Thank you very much.
I propose about a 5-minute break. It's 8:06, so we're 2 hours into it, and we'll come back and jump right into Varese. The continuation on the Design Response Conference. from August 1st and on Veriz. And Tony, I'll let you take it.
All right, thank you. Actually, I just noticed I didn't change the date on here. But yes, this is a continuation of the Design Response Conference from August 1st, 2016. Again, this is a Veriz residential project. Is located at on Northeast 116th Street. Again, the property has frontage along 116th and a 40-foot wide access easement near and basically a portion of the northern property line. It's bordered to the west by existing commercial and industrial buildings, Northeast 116th and a church use to the north, car dealership industrial use to the east, and single family residential to the south. The subject property, over 4 acres in size, currently contains a commercial and industrial warehouse. The site is relatively flat with significant upward grade elevation along the south and southeast property lines. The applicant is proposing to construct a new residential project that will consist of 82 townhome units with 16 buildings with individual garages and surface parking. Again, the DRB's authority is to review the project for consisting with design guidelines for the pedestrian-oriented business districts. If applicable, zoning regulations that require DRB approval. And staff is in charge of reviewing it for city codes, including the grading permit, building permit. And additionally, Public Works is reviewing, doing a traffic review as part of the SEPA determination. Again, this is a continuation of the August 1st Design Response Conference. So the goals for today's meeting is to review the applicant's revised proposal, consider any public comments, and deliberate on the applicant's response to the comments. The DRB should provide direction to the applicant. If needed, they would continue to a future meeting if items need to be further addressed to meet DRB requirements. Or you could approve the project if all items have been adequately addressed. Just a brief summary of some of the items that were addressed at the August 1st Design Response Conference. The DRB was accepting of the overall design, but they requested the applicant address the following items. First, they wanted elevations showing the building impacts on the neighborhood to the south. This was based on some of the public comments that were received during the public comments section. Additional work on the east edge of the property to reduce visual impacts. They requested the applicant look at providing additional relief in varying unit types. They requested the applicant submit a light study to help determine appropriate landscaping around the site. Also, in addition, similar to that, is requested detailed landscaping plans and submittal of material details. Further items that the DRB requested were detailed park plans, detailed lighting plans, a parking plan for the area near the park, how garbage will be picked up from the site, and finally looking at a public pedestrian connection to the east and west. The applicant did provide a public pedestrian easement location. Staff has looked at that, and it appears to be an appropriate location. Actually, I'll go to the next slide real quick. So they're proposing it to basically be kind of in this general area, which would lead to, obviously, if Subaru ever gets redeveloped or something where we could get that connection across that site and then obviously eventually down somewhere into the Cross Kirkland corridor. It would take some significant redevelopment of those sites, but that's something we could at least be ready for in the future. Another issue that came up during the review of the SEPA, the traffic review, was the driveway location. So basically the Public Works policy is they need to have at least on arterial, which 116th Street is, they have to have at least 150 foot of separation between curb cuts or access points. In this case, there is an access point here for the Subaru dealership, and then there is one right, a secondary access point to Subaru right here. Obviously, this is the access point that Varese is, the site you currently uses for access to this property and the access to the Varese site. So Public Works has requested that the applicant submit some additional information regarding that. So that is one issue that's still outstanding. I did make note that that is something that we will need to resolve before the DRB gives the final approval and we issue a approval notice on the project. So that's something that's still outstanding. And my understanding is the applicant's traffic engineer is working to address that. So tonight, again, we are looking for you to provide feedback on how the design guidelines for the Tobin Lake neighborhood apply to the proposed development, and look for you to provide feedback on building location orientation, vehicle access and parking design, design of the community park, pedestrian connections, lighting and amenities, landscaping, and material colors and details. So with that, I am going to pass it on to the applicant.
Is the packet on here, or should I just plug in my computer, or what are you going to do?
The packet, yeah.
We could look at. Actually, it might just be better for you to plug in that in.
So the three main items that we wanted to share with you tonight, and there's several other smaller items that we've picked up that you'll see in your packet, but those three items are, first of all, there was a parking study that we put together, and that we were asked, parking was a major concern for this project, and so we took a look at a couple options as to what that would look like, and so we'll show that to you, and also we now have a landscape architect on board who's provided some details, so we'll go through that as well. And the third major item is the relationship to the homes to the south. So we have a couple sections we want to show you because we want to make sure that we work with those neighbors and come to a good resolution there. Let me get this open here. So our goal is the same as before. We want to create a townhome project use a park in the center to make a strong community element and a place for neighbors to gather and really be the focal point for the community. And as Tony mentioned, we've labeled a location here that could serve as a future pedestrian easement. So if there is something that happens in the future east-west, then perhaps it can come through here, tie into our park, and then continue on as the other neighboring projects develop. I'm going to go to the parking study here. So back in May, we presented this plan to you here in the upper left corner. And that plan had parallel parking along our access road here, which were 13 spaces. And then interior, we had 8 spaces around the park, and then we had 2 more down here. So when we came back to you in August, we had modified our plan and were able to increase the park in the middle and also get double the amount of spaces that are around the park. So now we have 16 around the park. We lost the 2 down here, but that's 16 internal. And then we also went with a perpendicular setup on the access road, which allowed us 11. So that was 27 total spaces. And so at our last meeting in August, you asked us to take a look at, well, what if we had some diagonal parking along here? What does that do to the plan? So you can see here, actually I'll zoom in. If we go parallel, we no longer can have what we had before in our loop road, which is a 14-foot drive aisle with a 6-foot raised sidewalk. So it's essentially a 20-foot fire lane, but we use that to make the drive aisle only 14 feet with the sidewalk 6 feet. It makes the park feel a little bit bigger.
But if we go to a parallel parking, diagonal parking along here, we now have to make this 20 feet because we can't have people backing up onto the sidewalk. So essentially what that does is it creates a parking stall length area left in the middle. So it pretty much eliminates our park that we had and creates basically just a planting strip. And if we turned and looked at just going perpendicular to here, kind of it defeats the purpose. Now the solution would have to be you just pull a road down the middle and you can put perpendicular on the side. But again, you kind of lose the park that was part of our core design. But one thing that we did look at on these two scenarios was up here in the access easement, we put perpendicular parking spaces that were outside of the access easement because there is a condition where we may not be able to have parking inside this 40 feet. So what we did is we lined up as many as we could just to maximize that area up there, which we get 17 total spaces. So our thought would be, let's combine the 17 spaces up here with our new 16 spaces around the park, which gives us a total of 27 for the project. There's 14 that are required, so we're 13 over, but that just helps eliminate some of the concerns that some of the neighbors had regarding parking. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the landscape architect to talk some of the details of our park design.
Okay. I'm Nick Hagen. I'm a principal at Wiseman Design Group in Seattle. So I was brought on board just to try and imagine what these spaces will be like, how to kind of give them life, and think about how the landscaping as a whole kind of helps to knit the project together. So focusing in on the main space, central space, one of the things we started to do was looking at how we could, arrange parking and landscape islands around the outer perimeter of this open space and really create a grove of trees that would frame the space and buffer it from the homes but wouldn't take up more ground within that central park space. So we've got a series of Katsura trees that we're showing around the perimeter here. And then what we've done is tried to bookend the north end and the south end, kind of a larger, grander scale tree, like a big oak tree, something like that. That would have some presence and add some shade to these more kind of active social spaces that we see at the north and the south. At the north end, as you come in, we see that as sort of the park garden, where it could be a series of raised beds that children and their parents, grandparents could all kind of work and have a more of a communal activity. That would be up at the top. It could be a big farm table where that could serve for picnicking or for gardening, laying things out, kind of a big work table. This could also be a play space for kids riding trikes or drawing with chalk on the pavement. So kind of a multi-purpose active garden space at the top. And then at the south end, we see that more as the evening sort of social space after dinner, weekends, where there could be a place for outdoor fire pit. I think that having that warmth really extends our cool evenings throughout the year. And then some areas for barbecuing that might happen at the south end. And we see this area kind of built-in walls. Maybe they're steel framed with wood slats, something that has some sense of permanence, but is also softer materials. So that would kind of frame that in, and if you see the alleys are facing it, and so we want to have some solid areas that would give some sense of privacy when you're in this space. But also, if you can see here, there's some openings, wider openings, to allow you to pass through easily into the space. And then in the middle, what we've really tried to do is create a large, flat lawn area for kids to play catch, play soccer. You could have the birthday party with, the bubble soccer or whatever out in that space. And then we'd frame that in with maybe a low fence again, with some transparency. We wouldn't want it to all be solid. Maybe it's 4 feet tall max, enough to keep a small child from running out into the drive, keep the ball from rolling out into there, but not block views, just provide some sense of containment. And then we would strategically locate little gateways into that grass area. But primarily, we'd want to enter from the north and the south. So here's some ideas visually what the materials might be, whether it's large wood tables, wood planters, they could be steel planters. At the south end, this could be just an open framework with catenary lights across it, or it could have some wood or steel members over the top that provides a little sense of cover from the sky and from maybe eyes looking down upon it, but not really blocking sunlight and not really a lot of weather protection that would make it a darker space. So that's the thought for the central core. Landscape types, again, like the Katsura trees around the perimeter, oak trees. As we move towards the paseos and the more confined spaces, the size of the trees would be smaller, something more like Japanese maples. And then really looking at massings of plantings, primarily Northwest natives, but some other adapted ornamentals, to start playing up textures and layering and different, providing some seasonality throughout the year. With these tight spaces, we really want to be strategic in where we plant and what we plant, and make sure we choose plants that will give us the most bang for our buck. So here's some views. This is kind of an out-of-date view, I think, of that. I'm going to just zip through that. Again, this was just talking about the scale of the park in reference to the marina, that same size of the lawn area. These paseos, we kind of think of them as sort of mini gathering places. So rather than just being a walkway that everybody just goes to their front door, we're trying to actually create another social grouping space where, you know, neighbors are coming at the same time, the chance to stop and talk without feeling like you're blocking off somebody else that might be trying to use the space if you're having a conversation off to the side up here. More special treatment, you know, using finer grain materials to distinguish it from the more common walkways. So, you know, then there could be a low fence as you enter in again, maybe repeating that material. Almost like you're walking into your own sort of private garden court. And you can see tables and chairs being brought out into the space. Some they could pull out the barbecue and have a little their own little sort of mini communal evening. So that's kind of, we thought we'd kind of treat each of these in a similar fashion, but maybe the colors and textures, patterns of the paving may be a little bit different. Plant choices may be, you know, slightly different, so each one is unique. But again, looking planting-wise, we don't want a lot of tall shrubbery that's going to overwhelm the space. We're looking at more ferns and ornamental grasses, some unique ground covers in this space. And then there's at certain moments there's a unique specimen shrub or a smaller tree or something like that. Is how we're looking at the landscaping in here. And then on the perimeter, thinking more about how to buffer the adjacent projects, properties. So some deciduous trees that would provide some height and verticality. And then most more taller evergreen hedge-like shrubs. We're thinking like a hickshew or something that can grow to 10 or 15 feet tall, provide some screening, but not overwhelm the space by putting large evergreen trees that would make this feel dark. That's not really reflective either. And then looking back at the south end and how to treat this terraced wall It was a bit of a challenge, but what we're thinking is, there's some existing trees that are on the adjacent property to the south. Unfortunately, they're not really showing up in the plan view, but you kind of imagine them periodically being along the property. What we'd want to do is on the upper terrace, infill that with some more evergreen conifer trees. We're proposing like a western hemlock, something that will grow slowly but provide some screening over time. And then infill that with more things like hicksew, something that gets to more of a 15-foot height max, so that we're not putting a wall between the properties. We're just providing some softening and sense of separation. And then as you move down the terrace, maybe this lower terrace has more deciduous trees like vine maples that will grow up, soften that wall, but not start to shade the sidewalk through here. And then as you get down to the bottom, again, just lower, softer materials. Let the wall be what it wants to be. We can treat that with texture, whatever, what the material would be, but rather than try and force planting in front of that, which might crowd the sidewalk. I think we treat the ground plane pretty simply and let the wall itself could have vines that grew up on it, but not really try and mask that lower tier. And here's some examples of what those plants might be. And I think that's about it.
So just to continue on that and to get a little bit more detail on our site section here, we've cut a section right through here to see the relationship between the homes to the south and our building. So as we talked about in August, about 100 feet from the property line, we need to stay at a 30-foot building height. And so that encompasses this last row of buildings on our plan. And right now, this building is 30 feet in height, and we've calculated the average building elevation at just over 210, and our finish grade is just slightly below that. So we're up to 240, which is just underneath where we need to be. The other building is actually a little lower, so this is the worst-case scenario. But it is within 30 feet, and where it comes across, it lands at just below the first story of the second-story home. So it's about 8 or 10 feet above grade at this point. And again, as Nick mentioned, as we re-engineer this wall and save existing vegetation as we can, but as we re-engineer this, we want to make sure that we provide the screening necessary for the neighbors and just make sure that we understand their needs on this side and supplement the landscaping where we can and hopefully maintain existing vegetation where it does exist. And then before I forget, let's talk about garbage. We did speak with the garbage vendor, and they have agreed to allow each resident to have their own totes in the garage, and then they just bring them out in front of their garage doors on garbage day. So that's the good news is they won't have to drag it to the main road, the loop road. So that's a good thing. And then just a couple other items as we go through here. We point out a couple materials just that we're considering for the elevation. So that's listed here, the fiber cement board, brick, and glass. And also floor plans, if you want to take a look at those. And then also some shadow studies that we've done in the summertime, and then the autumnal and vernal equinoxes, and then in December. So you get a sense of the shadowing for the project. And this is just, we showed this to you last time, but just some daylight patios that we like to incorporate into the sidewalls as those get reconstructed. So that's it. So we look forward to hearing your comments. Let me go back to the plan.
Questions from the board to the applicant? Dave?
I think this may have been asked before, but is the roof going to be white? It's shown as white on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Tony Radovich, architect. So yeah, it's a membrane roof. Typically, that material is white, but they do come in different colors. We have not settled on a particular product at this point.
And how much, if you could just swing around and indicate how much brick will be used in this project? I know it's that sort of accent material here.
Sure. So the intention is to use brick where it has the highest impact. So you'll see here that we're showing it along the front doors and along like street edges where, you know, where we can get the biggest bang for the buck. We haven't finalized the exact extent of the brick, but the intention is that, I mean, it both us and the and Quadrant Homes are in lockstep in our thinking that we want this project to look fantastic, and it's a matter of judiciously putting that brick in spots that it has an impact.
The, in that image, that is lawn, or that is plant shrubs and grasses and things like that.
That was one of my questions: is where exactly in all of these units is there actually lawn?
The only lawn would be that center space.
Okay.
I think the renderings are of those perspectives are just to show the architecture,
okay,
and not really represent what the landscaping would look like. The, most of the areas are too small for lawn to be of any use.
We didn't, just in the list of items we're coming back with to this meeting, a lighting plan. I don't think we went over that. Is there anything we have on that?
We have a lighting
plan. We don't have a lighting plan. We one of the things that was discussed was a concern for the light from the neighboring dealership. And so I know that that was mentioned to us before, but that's not something that we would show on our plan necessarily. So we did show the shadow study, so that's how we interpreted the lighting plan.
Is that what you meant by the lighting plan? I apologize. I missed the meeting where you first.
No, that's okay.
So I didn't know if it was. I guess in my mind, I was assuming it was in regards to the lighting from this project and how it affected the adjacent properties.
We haven't provided that at this point, the lighting plan, but. Well, that will still be part of the overall concept.
Probably up in the north, that north piece of that park garden, just south of that tree, you can see a mail kiosk being part of that. We've talked about some other elements for that space too, just to create kind of more of a gathering.
Do you have any images of what you think that the fence will look like that's on the
either
side of the lawn?
I don't. I was sitting there thinking that you'd ask that. I don't, unfortunately. We could provide that. I'm thinking that something with horizontal members, maybe it has a steel frame that encapsulates that. That wood could be, you know, whether it's Ipe or a more sustainable hardwood or something like that that's durable.
Regarding the materials, that was another item listed on here, materials details. Other than in the renderings and calling out the materials, do you have any samples of the actual materials and the colors that they would be in by chance?
We don't have any physical samples with us.
Have you selected specific colors? lot of these images are pretty saturated, and so I'm like kind of dulling them down in my mind. But I was just curious if you have an actual color selected.
Yeah. So these colors are not necessarily representative of the final colors. They're meant to show kind of the level of contrast, really, that we're shooting for. This was created in a program called SketchUp, which is not refined in its color abilities. It's not like Photoshop where you can choose a specific color. We have not finalized colors for this project at this point.
The I assume vinyl windows?
Yes.
And they will be dark frame?
That's TBD? Not determined at this point. That's a cost issue, so it's not 100% determined.
Okay. So the two buildings that are at the far south that we have to get down to 30 feet, how are we doing that? If the other buildings are 36 feet 10 inches tall,
okay.
Do we
so
just lose floor to floor, or
it's a combination of approaches. So okay. You'll notice here on this one, originally we had 9, 9, 9, and then a lot of transom in this case. So in the I need to find the section. Sorry. Where do I go? Get me there.
Well, page 31 has, or 21 of yours.
Okay. So, Andy, do you have an ability to zoom in on this piece here? Because the lower image is. Okay. So this image here is the best image we have of the shortened building. I'll be honest, it's been more than a month since I created this, so I believe that our solution on the top floor was to do 8-foot plates in this case, and we got rid of the clear stories that you're seeing on the adjacent building that's out of the 100-foot range.
Okay.
So if I'm recalling correctly, our solution was 9-foot, 9-foot, and 8-foot, and then basically just taking it down to the practical limits of what we can do from a construction standpoint.
Okay.
So we're at that height limit. You'll see that these little elements are above, but those are, if we, let me see, I need to, okay, now I need to zoom out, so.
Control zero.
Okay, so if you, I'm getting there. Okay. So you'll notice here I have this architectural element that's like a fin that's kind of just part of the kind of the movement of the elevation. So that element we're currently showing above 30 feet. It's 18 inches wide. It could be shortened to 30 feet if need be, if it was found not to be acceptable. But we were still trying to give it a little bit of an architectural feel, and we were considering it a projection. So.
We call it a chimney. Does it get to extend above the 30 feet? It does. Okay. Put a B vent in that. We call it a chimney.
We'll call it a chimney.
Okay.
I had a question going back to the park space and how it ties in a potential east-west corridor through there eventually. Was I understanding right that the thought was that would go, yeah, it looks like you're showing it go all the way through, right? So to get from one side to the other, you'd have to walk through just grass. There's no paved trail or anything like that at all. Do you see that getting, if there was actually pedestrian traffic through there, getting trampled down and just kind of a muddy thing that nobody wants to use in the winter?
Yeah, well, you know.
Remind us, or were you thinking you walk all the way around the outside of the park?
I think you kind of want people to walk around. I mean,
okay.
I don't know that this really wants to be a thoroughfare for people to go from off-site through the site or vice versa.
I mean, maybe it doesn't want to be, but my lazy self or whatever, if I walk up and
I think you
I see the path continuing just the other side, I'm like, well, you know, there's the shortest distance between two points.
You know, you can always see if that became a problem in the future, if that was paved or pavers or something that would allow this grass space to still function without a lot of hardscaping in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being done. Just like it, these things, maybe there isn't that connection there today, but you allow for it in the future to happen.
Well, I was wondering if there's even the opportunity if you just shifted where that pedestrian connection is, rather than going, you know, if you just shifted it north a little bit, and then your natural progression would be to go through the part of the park that's not the grassy part. But I don't know. I just
think it out loud. You could kind of shift them, but they could go to the south just as well.
Or south, yeah.
So
on that topic, staff. I'm concerned that this opportunity be activated when a property nearby is developed or next to it is developed. So presumably it would be like the hospital. There's a condition that when the property next door is approved, that connection has to be made. Is that right? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, we'll look into that. I mean, that's something we could iron out with the building permit.
Sometimes people aren't anxious to make the connections, and they really need to.
Yeah, that's something we'll work with the applicant, Public Works, on establishing that easement, when it gets created, that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you.
It may be too early to deal with the parking studies. I know initially the hesitation to move the access to the west was because of grade issues and dropping off. But if the engineer and the city engineer say, no, it has to move to get a little bit of separation from the west Subaru curb cut, what are our options? I mean, obviously we can, if the 17 additional parking spaces are just, you know, either side of a central access, do we plunge down too steeply to make anything work?
Yeah, the issue is, correct me if I'm, but the issue is if we were to come in here, it would take from this point all the way down to about here in order to get
enough drop
to where it's comfortable. And I think even then it's maybe 10% or something. It's still pretty steep. But the problem, though, is then that compromises the access to get over to here, because then you'd also have to come down this way as well to provide the access here.
It's a corollary question. Then, if we keep it like this, those westernmost of the 17 stalls are going to be way down in a pit with a large retaining wall. Is that, and we lose some of the conifers and everything at that west end?
We would, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea what the grade change would be there?
I believe at this point it's maybe 6 to 8 feet, something like that. The drop from up here down to there?
Go up.
Justin Goro, BCRE, 2106 Pacific Ave, Suite 300, Tacoma, civil engineer. It's bigger than that. You're 10 feet grade difference roughly right here, and I think you're going to get 15 plus on this side. So, yes, most of this, if not all of it, will be removed and replanted. We may be able to get some of this back here, depending on where this shakes out. And just to piggyback on what Andy said, once you start playing with the grades, it's a domino effect. Because if you raise the grades here, now you have an issue here. If you raise them here, now you have an issue with this side, because everything is flat out there. Everything is roughly at the 210 elevation or so.
So, Tony, is Public Works also concerning the possibility of putting a condition on the development of the Subaru property?
Actually, Jeff, would you like to... are you guys, the ideas that you're exploring, I don't know. There was some talk maybe of doing a joint easements?
Yeah, well, we got some of that feedback.
Actually, you want to come up there, yeah.
We got some feedback that one of the options was to do a joint access with Subaru. So we're looking into that. But it's a property owner that we're asking to share access with, so we're going to do the best we can.
So did the competing curb cuts come in with the city not looking at it, or I mean, get them that close? Is it just happened some time ago and we didn't realize it? Or
yeah, my guess is it's been like that for that's been a dealership there for a long time. So it'd be probably back before it was, the county.
But it was massive improvements on 116th not too long ago to put in the curb, gutter, and sidewalk and all the widening and all that, the bridge over the CKC and all that. I mean,
yeah. I don't know all those details on that.
Is there a chance they could say, Subaru, you've got to close your west curb cut, or is that?
I don't know. That's I've asked them that. They're still exploring that.
Okay.
They're working with their traffic engineer to look at, because the other issue coming into play here is a potential connection from the north, basically a new road that would come from the north. Actually, if we could pull up my let's see if we got a
site plan. I don't know what he's talking about.
So basically, about right here, there's a potential road connection coming from the north with the redevelopment of. This property right now is being explored for redevelopment by the Wolf Company. So as part of that, there's a potential road connection or new road that would go in right here.
Up to 124th?
Yeah.
Or 120th?
Go up to 120th. Yeah, by the Justice Center.
Right.
And so that's in the comprehensive plan for Totem Lake neighborhood. So that's one of the things that Tang and the Public Works Department exploring with their traffic engineer on how that potential conflict gets resolved. And so there's kind of different elements at play here.
Okay.
So,
but if Varese doesn't get to keep an easternmost access point, it's kind of a showstopper, because I don't know how else we get vehicles in there, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's why, you know, I mean, I think, you know, obviously I've raised that point that we want to make sure that we know exactly what the decision is going to be regarding that access to the site before the DRB makes a decision on the application.
So while this slide is up here, would you say again where we are with the connection the staff is thinking about for the CKC?
Well, I mean, the problem is once you get off the side, there's a significant grade. There's actually a road that comes down here, the Subaru side, and there's a pretty significant grade right there. So the connection would look at going, okay, right here, probably along the south property line of the Subaru, and then that's when the decision would have to be made. You know, obviously it would involve the redevelopment of this entire site. So whether or not that goes, you know, up to the north to connect there, or if they want to do something to the south and the midpoint. I mean, there's a lot of issues that would have to be resolved to make that connection. But we'd set it up so it could be done.
But with respect to this property, the connections that we've already talked about would be sort of the starting point?
Yeah, correct.
Or the possibility for them. I mean,
it's
may
kind
never
of,
happen.
Yeah, they're kind of locating that right at the, you know, the edge of those, because that you've got some grade here. They've got some retaining walls that they're proposing around here. So this kind of seems to be a logical location where the grades work, and it's kind of midpoint of that site. You know, if you get further north, you're not adding a whole lot, I mean, as far as the connection, because you're getting pretty close to the sidewalk already. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be kind of get as far south as we can.
Okay. Any other questions directly to the applicant or from the board? Okay, now is the time for members of the public and the audience to, if they wish to speak, please jump up and name an address. I think we've done it before, but do it again.
Hi, my name is Leo Gilbert, 11328 116th Place Northeast. I live on the southern border of this property. So The applicant mentioned wanting to work with property owners to the south. I did attend the last meeting, and I did reach out to the applicants after the meeting. I think I gave you a business card, and I never heard from anyone. So if there is an attempt to work with the neighbors to the south, it's not happening yet. I also submitted pictures that were part of the packet that was passed out for the last hearing of my backyard and the view from my backyard with the large evergreens. With respect to that, page 19 of the current application shows a kind of a cross-section with the property line, and it shows the existing trees being to the south of the property line. So it's as if the current owners could keep these large trees that are a buffer. That's not accurate at all on my property, and I believe the property next to me to the south. The large trees are actually on this commercial site, and so they'll be completely wiped out, which I'm pretty concerned about. Again, if you look at the pictures I submitted last time, those trees are 40 or 50 feet tall, so anything they plant now is going to take decades to reach that level of cover. Another thing is the west end of the terraces or the terrace walls that they've built. That abuts another commercial property, which is the same steep hillside with these large trees on it. What's going to happen there? These retaining walls are just going to come to an abrupt end, and then it's just another steep dirt hill? Or, I mean, I haven't seen anything about how that border will be done with these terracing walls. The other thing is these, you know, trying to keep the existing vegetation, any of these trees are going to be adversely affected when you build these walls. The root systems are probably, you know, at least 15, 20 feet, you know, deep. And when you're going to be chopping them off or, you know, affecting them with these walls, even trees that you think about keeping probably won't make it. So that's definitely a concern. I would like to work with the developers. I mean, when I reached out to them at the last meeting, you know, they would have been welcome into my backyard. I could have shown them the trees and where they were. Perhaps that page 19 I mentioned could have been more accurate had they gotten in touch with me. Those are my concerns, and I would like them to address that if they could about the property line and the large trees and which side they actually are on, so that the information they give you on the board is accurate. I think it paints a rosier picture than it actually is for the property owners to the south.
A quick question. One of your photos,
yes.
Is the fence, you think your fence roughly the property
That's
line?
That's the property line.
It is,
yeah.
Okay.
So everything you see there is going to be gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else? Hearing and seeing none, we will go ahead and proceed with our deliberation. Any volunteers? Karen, let's jump right in the middle.
I'd like to make sure that what we're seeing is in fact what's there. And I'm not convinced that the park is going to be highly functional. I liked the big wide open space with the trees flanking the sides as opposed to this fence on either side, which I think is gonna some way conflicts with the whole concept of that open park. I'd like to see some of the materials boards. I think that the buildings are attractive enough and the concept works quite nicely. Otherwise, I'm pretty happy with the site plan. But I am concerned about that south wall and the park itself.
Okay.
I'll piggyback Scott. On that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they took a huge step back. Everybody turned to, you know, 1424, 1525 in the packet. Mm-hmm. Okay, on the one side you see, the park with the trees lining it, and you have the center section that you can walk through.
Yeah.
Very user-friendly. On the other side you see where it's fenced off, not user-friendly. And I'll tell you from, I have several clients with rooftop gardens. The pea patch idea is so great in May, June. People get tired of it by July, August. They are weed patches. I foresee that even, but and it's yearly cycle. People want to get their hands dirty, and you know when the sun starts coming out, they get tired of it. I just think that we took a huge step, and I'm going to also talk about the plant palette. I'm hoping this is a plug-and-play situation, because if you look at this page, it's all the same color green. It's all very fine-leaved. It's just going to be an incredibly boring landscape. The mock-ups that we have here show different colored trees, and even the computer generated up on our screen, it showed blue spruces, it showed pine trees. We are seeing a very narrow, singular, monochromatic plant scheme, you know, and it's just very generic, especially we have Oregon grape, grasses, Nandina, sword fern. That's Costco's parking lot. So I would never sign off on this. Okay, we're going to talk about the screening for the neighbors. Hicks Yew grows about 2 inches a year, and they can, you know, say you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I've dealt with it for 30 years. It will never be a block for the neighbors. It will very rarely get as tall as the fence, and it's a temperamental plant. Same with hemlock. Hemlock is shallow-rooted. Hemlock falls, blows down, and when it gets too wet, they die. So they're setting up for disaster. So it's not neighbor-friendly. It's not provided. There's not a single tree in here that will actually provide some screening for the neighbors. Mm-hmm. And they'll disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you, this is my area. So I just think that, A, the park needs to be relooked at, and what you're going to be doing with your neighbors needs to be looked at, and greater variance in color, texture. I mean, evergreen magnolia, something other than, you know, I know you want to look Northwest native, but the plant palette is every parking lot we see in the area.
Okay. And
kind of going along the same lines with the park, maybe because I was a little more less, I was a little more uninitiated since I missed the first meeting. You know, on the page 14, we're talking about the park they're proposing now. I thought that was just showing the blank canvas they were starting with, and then on page 15 was the nice, you know, well-developed park. I didn't realize.
The other way.
I didn't realize. Yeah, it was literally, you know,
15 was April 1st.
Yeah,
that's what we saw then, right?
And so, and that's because that's what it brought up my comment about. Well, what's this east-west corridor looking like through the park, because there is nothing east-west through it. Whereas on the apparently now older one, it had a real neat little area right there in the middle that connects those two sides. And so, and the...
Well, and what if we end up with a chain link fence? I think, and the fences just seem like it cuts the park up.
So I know it's deliberation between just of us, but if we can get the applicant back in. So is the August 1st version and this new version, are they mutually exclusive, or is it the parking that is driving the reduced width of that doesn't allow all the trees that we saw on the August 1st version, or what gives? In other words, why can't it be... Like Nolan suggests, the page 14 is without the fenestration or without the vegetation shown, and 15 is with it shown, with some grassy lawn in the middle underneath in between those trees. Are we not able to do that?
I think if there's a strong desire for us to look at that, not having been involved in that earlier design, we looked at it. I think we've looked at those as that initial design as maybe not having enough larger space. If you're going to have a grass space
it needs to be big enough to actually use it and have some functionality to it. I think if it's chopped up into too many pieces, it feels like this space becomes more just landscaping. I think we wanted to not just make it feel like just purely a garden visual space, but actually have hardscaping, have grass, have some things that people can use. It's definitely more of an urban treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And things like the fencing, if that's problematic, we thought that would actually increase people's desire to be using that grass space with a small child. The fact that we do have cars circulating around that space. It could be, and the fence just takes up the minimal amount of space to create that separation. Because again, that drive coming through that sidewalk is, on the interior sidewalk, is flush with the road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a curb, there's not really that much more protection for someone in the park. So we felt like it needed a more architectural treatment. And it wouldn't be chain link. I don't think Quadrant has any desires to do something as mundane as chain link. And I speak to the plant palette. I hear you about more diversity and color and texture. I mean, we didn't want to show all the plants that we can have. And I think if we're hearing from the board that more diversity of plant material is better.
One of the problems we've had in the past is that when we go back to a site, generally we only get what is specified. So, and in some cases, they show us these great pictures of plants, and we get a very minuscule version of what was pictured. So,
we get smaller calipers, and the spacing on center is less. Or is
and
more
so
than
we are sensitive to color, texture, evergreen versus deciduous, having blends,
right.
And not because we know that whatever's on this plan that we sign off on, we will not probably get more than but we are in many cases, and if you've listened to even the presentation before, they'll say we'll do more. But when cost landscaping is at the very end of every project, that is the one that seems to get cut more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of that. As a landscape architect, I hear you. And I think if the Quadrant's hearing that message, too, about the importance of the landscaping.
And Scott, just to clarify your comment. You're more than just saying more diversity. You're saying different than what's shown, not just saying to add more
it
to
is,
it, it's make a different selection
more
altogether.
Dynamic is part of it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to prescribe by saying, oh, well, I would do this plant, this plant, this plant. But color, foliage color in the middle of winter when things are dormant, there are plants out there that are colorful, that draw your eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for. Not the same texture in all the plants. If you look at this plant palette, nothing distinguishes your eye. And if you're going to have that on paper, I can tell you, you're definitely not going to see it out in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these pictures are the best that this plant will ever look.
Right.
So,
and the reason I asked that clarifying question is just make sure they were hearing that we don't just want one of everything, but, maybe it's actually totally different.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And the thing we didn't hear anything about is, I know the little driveway aisles, the renderings show cute little trees kind of at the party walls, but I don't know. I mean, the size allowed is minuscule. I mean, it's on, it looks like 18/28, which is the shot down the drive aisle, shows some little itsy bitsy lollipop trees that are about 9 feet high, but they're bigger than shown in plan. I mean, Scott, what grows or what do we do in that to soften those?
Okay, you're going to have to point exactly where you're talking about.
The bottom picture.
18.
That actually, I'm not as worried about those areas because Yes, there are a lot of plants that will...
Just columnar, just go straight up. And,
yes,
okay.
you can do...
You're talking about these areas here?
Yeah.
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 They're, you know, really... plant world's amazing. That's why when we get these plant palettes and they're all the same, I'm just like, for God's sakes, you have thousands of choices. Why do we get the same five plants on every, Nandina and Oregon grape? Oregon grape is a prickly, crappy plant. but people like to plug it in because it's really hardy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what, homeowners don't like it. Homeowners are pulling it out. So it's... when you have options, I don't understand.
The opportunities there.
Options that are exactly the same price. It's not like, well, you have to spend a lot more money.
Okay.
It's get more creative. You know, even with a lot of these areas are very shady. I mean, we should be seeing hostas and, you know, again, I don't want to tell them what to plant, but we can do more color and foliage. We can do a little bit more evergreen. We can do... and I think they really need to look at their neighboring property. What is going to give them a little bit of relief, especially if we do lose some of those trees?
Mm-hmm.
You can't predict if a tree is going to die. But, you know, if you are taking some out to get your project done, let's do something a little better than a Western hemlock that may not be here 15 years from now.
Okay. Tony, refresh my memory. Mm-hmm. The only requirement for that south property line is just that for 100 feet, the buildings can't exceed 30 feet. Is there a landscape buffer requirement?
There's a 5-foot landscape buffer required along that south property line.
And does it stipulate the density, the height, the
opacity? There's requirements for that. I mean, it's pretty minimal. I mean, really... within these terracing areas, you'd probably, you know, double what that requirement is. So, I mean, I think it's the minimum requirement's probably not going to provide a whole lot of, of screening there.
The cost of a Higgs U, though, at like 8 feet or, you know, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
They can do similar plant material for labs.
That grows faster?
Yes.
Okay. Brad, do you want to chime in?
I think you guys just about covered it.
Okay.
I've just been making a list of things I'd like to see, you know, for next time. You know,
right.
I think they've received our message, and we should just kind of look at, you know, constructively what I'd like to, you know, take a look at next time.
We'll get to that. And anything else, Nolan?
The only other, and this is probably something Brad's going to mention anyhow and stuff he wants to see come back. I was just going to mention on the, you know, on the materials, they had one, you know, they had their one kind of example here, but, you know, I think there's still a lot of questions on the materials, such as, well, Dave even mentioned it, you know, where exactly is brick going to be used, and, you know, what are the actual colors of these materials going to be, stuff like that, you know, and to your point, too, on the windows, I feel like you've finally gotten cautious about that and ask about on every project now, the vinyl windows. And if it's already being mentioned as a it's going to be a cost consideration, too. They're probably going to wind up being white. And so
there's nothing wrong with white windows if it works well with the rest of the
material,
you know, rest of the assembly and the...
Yeah.
The,
and so that's why I say we don't have the details really comment on it.
I encourage them because I hate white vinyl windows. But this is very residential.
Mm-hmm.
It's not...
And it's definitely off. I mean, it's back kind of in its own little world.
It's not a, you know, big apartment building that...
Mm-hmm.
So.
But
okay.
It looks a lot nicer in their mock-ups with the dark ones.
Yes. Dave, anything else?
So, on the guest parking, whereas 14 is the required number... And I understand the problem in that area. Essentially doubling it to this, you know, 27 or such, it seems to me reasonable. It would be better to get more, but there's a lot of uncertainty with what's going to happen if there's an entry change at the top, so I guess we can't fine-tune that now, but it's always you need more and more space for the damn cars, but at almost double the requirement, I think that's...
But I think that on page 14, the number of parallel stalls is not, that's not any more than we've had previously. We're just adding the extra, getting the 17 up at the access easement, correct? So we
I think this is the August 1st version, the 27.
Yes. But we're going to get to 33 with the preferred if we get 17 and 16. We already have the 16 around the circular park, or the... and 17 up front on 116th. It's just the difference between...
Well, wait a minute. Where's the 33? I mean,
No, we get this. We get the same 16 right here and 17.
That's the 27 total I was referring to.
Yeah. But
that's the August 1st version.
Yeah, but they're going to combine...
But then you get down here to diagonal parking, and because of the need to get the cars in and out, you essentially lose the functionality of
the park. Right.
So it seems to me we've gotten...
Well, the applicant is over the minimum requirement. I think
that's
responding
right, almost
to,
double.
They're responding to the neighbor
so
concern, which is...
I think that response... there may be a problem ongoing, but they...
Varese can't solve it.
That's right.
Okay, I agree.
So,
I agree.
And then as I said, finalizing the colors, and I find the visual representations with the bright blue windows kind of gives me a... I have difficulty sorting out how this is all going to play out because the windows aren't the right color.
I agree. I still have a major issue with... Speaking of blank walls, the east and the west sides of these units that have at most 6 or 8 inches of, I'll call it, poke out for window elements, and there really is no easy place to see it because the SketchUp view on page 10 shows, I think, what appears to be a... on the main floor, not the garage level, but the main floor of some of those units on the Subaru parking lot with maybe a window poke-out wall that's kind of square. I don't think that's going to be enough to make this not look like just one unbroken, repetitious element.
So on that, John, you said that... if it's not a public access, the DRB is a question of what, how far we can proceed.
A couple of things. There's the blank wall treatment, and then there's also how do you deal with bulk and mass? And with bulk and mass, I think you can get there as well as in terms of architectural scale and detailing. So I don't think it's a blank wall issue. I think it's more of a, how do you mitigate the building facade, the massing?
Okay. I think as you're standing on 116th, looking southward, you're going to see an unbroken line that effectively becomes a blank wall because your eye connects all of the dots and they're the exact same color. They're... You know, there's no change in the unit type. That kind of leads into my next issue of: is there a reason we have to have every one of these buildings painted in exactly the same color?
So they don't have to take square footage out. I mean, what if you just alternated, you know, the material treatments so that it's not, even if they alternated, you know, back and forth, so it's not like, oh, every one of them has to be different. It's just...
Yeah. Or a third building type that starts swapping some of those larger, taller end units as an interior unit and you know, building type three, should be fairly easy. I mean, I know in the past, Quadrant on their single family stuff has had the identical, nearly identical floor plan, boom, boom, boom in a subdivision, but you can't tell because there are subtle little variations of hip roof, gable roof, porches are changed, et cetera, et cetera. I think we need more of that approach here so that it isn't just, you know, cookie stamp, just boom, 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 identical as we move, you know, from the north to the south. It's an opportunity to just change things up. The other piece of it too is that the sun's shadow studies are a really good indicator of how dark and how you know dark and shaded those auto courts are going to be. There's a good option to lighten up the colors on the north. I'm sorry, on the south sides of some of those buildings because it reflects light down into the auto courts. It's going to, you know, you can't just suddenly, you know, Huck Finn whitewash the sides of the buildings. It's got to be dealt with a little bit more carefully, but I think there's some opportunities there to really lighten up and help those. There's, I mean, just looking at the shadow study, in 2 days, you know, we don't really know how far up the garages of the in the northern buildings, south faces of the buildings on the north side of the auto courts, how far up they're going to be shaded, you know. It's going to get worse as we get in deeper into the winter season. So I think there's just some opportunities there that are, you know, available to make it not look like just, you know, boom, 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 units, building types are identical as you march back. There isn't a huge, enormous cost savings to swap out and put in a different building type. It's fairly easily done. So that's my my comment.
That's a very good call.
Yep.
Can we look at the south, the north, well, it's the south elevation around the corner there and see?
Do we have this in Live SketchUp?
We do.
Oh, okay.
And which elevation did you want to see?
The south.
Like the alley side?
You mean the south end of the property?
The south end of the property.
Oh,
yeah.
All the way down, okay. Kind of hard to get into it.
That's good enough. I just wanted to get a sense.
Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Can you stand at the sidewalk between Subaru and Veriz and look south for me?
Right in here?
Yep, stand right there and or actually move over a little bit, like you're driving into the Subaru dealership. Just that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah.
Until we get the grade rising up, and you get some rather interesting little patios for some of those buildings at the main floor level. That first one, two, three, four, or five of them really just I personally would love to see a little more variety there. I appreciate that ability to see that in SketchUp. Anybody else? I've said my piece. It sounds to me like we're not close to an approval tonight, so we probably are looking at a continuation. Let's go through what we would like to see. Brad, you'd mentioned a few things, and I said, let's wait, and now's the time to.
Okay, let's see.
going to make sure I start at the top of the list here. Just kind of a general comment about, like, when you guys comment and present next. There was, you know, Scott's on top of the landscape. He knows all about it. But I was really confused because I was seeing a variety of different landscaping, from the SketchUp model to some of the renderings to a site plan to the, you know, landscape architect's plan. And so I wasn't sure, you know, much like Nolan, what was the correct one and what to comment on. So if you just kind of have one full site plan with the most updated landscape, that would help me be able to approve something. But it kind of seemed like it was coming at us in bits and pieces. So one complete landscape plan. I would like to see a color and material board. It doesn't even necessarily have to be materials if it's a hardy board, but kind of a more firm idea on what colors you're going to choose. If things come out in print saturated, printers, you know, can do funny things. But if we have, you know, the actual color samples, that helps make everybody, you know, have a better idea of what they're approving. Also a lighting plan. Lighting along the street, along 116th, for the parking lot. Lighting around the park at night. And then if there's any building lighting on the exterior, because some of those alleyways can get very dark, you know, and heck, the park might even get very dark if it's not lit well enough. So I'd like to see kind of a complete lighting plan for pedestrian safety. If you're proposing a fence and no planting around the park lawn, I'd like to see at least some photographs of different types of fences that you're considering and materials for the fence. Personally, I would much like to see planting, you know, maybe some shrubberies and trees around the park lawn. I think that would make a much more successful fence than a literal fence. I'd like to see plan for the mailbox. I know it was mentioned that, it was still going to be in the site plan, even though it was kind of removed from the landscape plan. So that kind of ties into the, let's have one overarching landscape plan. I would like to see some more pedestrian views. We kind of already took care of it with the SketchUp model, but inside those kind of interior alleyways, just to see what that canyon effect is, how dark those will get. And again, that ties in with the lighting plan. I'm just concerned that that's very narrow, very steep, and will be very dark. And that's all I can come up with off the top of my head, so someone else can go.
I was just going to speak for myself, but I think Brad pretty much mentioned everything. I mean, I know it's pretty standard what we, mm-hmm. you know, what we usually ask them for anyhow, but I couldn't think of anything else off the top of my head to add to that list.
Okay. Scott? I would add the east wall that Tim was talking about. Mm. That needs work.
Carolyn, anything else beyond what?
Well, the east and west walls.
East and west, yeah.
No.
You've already, okay.
But I would say, you know, one of the things that is probably confusing for the board is that, yeah, these, all these diagrams show trees that aren't part of what's going to be in there, so.
Plan and elevation don't necessarily match, and SketchUp doesn't match. I mean, I
there's that old, I mean, that old park is there in this one, so.
Yeah, it's back in. I'm a big fan of live SketchUp models because it lets us do a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And I know SketchUp's kind of funky with the colors, but you can, you know, go in and dial down colors and change the colors or even simply turn the colors off and just give us a foam core model. It just shows the form and the and let us, you know, look at the samples and do it that way. But you're right, we're back to the original park, or August 1st park there, possibly.
That has a very nice feel. I think the space, it's just wider and more classical in a way. It's not as, unlike the last project that we looked at where there was a huge plaza and it could afford to be broken up, I think I'd say the opposite about this one. It, more cohesive, more simple, I think will be more successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does the applicant have any questions?
Oh. One more thing. Just a kind of a general response to the south neighbor talking about, oh, my fence and the property line and the trees. You know, if any of those trees are going to get removed, if you guys are thinking some of them are, you know, going to be replaced, or if you think you can keep most of them, just some sort of, you know, a response or a study looking into that, just so it kind of puts everyone's minds
at ease. An actual survey / tree retention plan also would be real handy, or just a blow up of that area.
Is there conditions that, you know, caliper of trees have to be put back in, or is it?
Yeah, it's for conifers, it's 6 feet for supplemental.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then like four-inch diameter. So.
So any trees they remove have to go through the urban forester has to review that plan anyhow, right? So they have to come up with a pretty concise idea of what trees are going and all that, correct?
I mean, I guess now that we know, you know, that was the kind of the other question we've had going into this was how was that south area going to be treated? I think last time the board said, okay, we like the terracing, let's look at that. So now I think we think that the terracing is going to work. Then we can look at what specific trees in that area can be retained. So that's, I think, what we'll request from the applicant is a formal tree retention plan to address that.
Okay. As well as tree retention on 116th, depending on the traffic issues. I mean, there are still street tree requirements. Let's say everything goes bye-bye on 116th.
Yeah.
There are still street tree requirements for any development, correct, in the right-of-way. Yeah. And then anything?
And parking lot.
And parking lots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The initial arborist report that we got there, you know, there are probably at least 40-50% of the trees there on the site are in poor health.
Okay.
You know, so that's another thing we'll have to look at is, especially along, I know, 116th, there's just been a lot of, you know, utility pruning and stuff like that that's occurred over the years. So that's something we'll have to look at.
Okay. All right. So does the applicant have any questions directly to us on everything we've thrown at you?
I have one question.
Sure.
Jeff Miller from Quadrant. I want to make sure next time we come in, we have this park. It seems like we've talked about this central park area consistently. And I want to make sure that we have down what I think you guys are asking for on the next round. Conceptually, the park with the open area, I think I've heard it expressed both ways as a negative and a positive. So I want to make sure as well as the fence, is there a preference in us changing what we're doing with the park, or would you just like to see a consistent landscaping plan and a lighting plan with the park?
Well, I think that the consistent landscaping plan, I think that's just kind of like a minimum requirement, just like to be consistent so I can make better sense, you know, so it helps me. But in regards to the park, personally, this is coming down personal preference, I don't mind the large open area in the center. I know in a past one there was kind of like a pavilion splitting it. My big issue is with the way it's fenced off. I mean, just looking at page 1525, you know, if you look at one of these bottom right images, you know, you're already creating a pretty successful fence with some of the shrubs and trees you're showing. Mm-hmm. I think that would make a more pleasant, you know, fence, because it doesn't need to be divided from the street for safety. But if you think that the fence is the way to go, then show that in SketchUp. Show it in some maybe first-person views so we can put ourselves into the space and see, okay, what would it really look like with a fence? Because there are, you know, from the landscape architect's plan, there are some trees, you know, lining the street. So it might not, I don't know, be as barren as maybe we're afraid of. We would just need to see some more images of that to sell us on that.
Okay.
But I just, my gut feeling is I would prefer trees and shrubs to act as that barrier rather than a fence, but that's your guys' design call.
Okay. I thought it was more engaging last time than this time, because hey, we had benches, we had, you know, we had trees. It was inviting. We had a corridor in the middle where people could at least walk through. I don't mind dividing the space up. It's a huge, if it's like Marina Park, it lets kids be at one side, it lets kids be at the other side. I don't think you need an entire football field.
Right.
I would rather see that everyone is engaged, not just kids. So I thought the last presentation was more refined looking. It was more intricate. It was more inviting. Big lawn area is not inviting to absolutely everyone. I think it's great to have big lawn area, but I think you have to start to incorporate. And I would be afraid that fencing it off, it's excluding.
Well, nobody's going to, I mean, they show a walking path then down along the sides of it where the fence is. Well, nobody's just going to walk. It's like no man's land out there. Then it's like, well, I have a fence. I'm not going to go in the park. You know, you just will walk along the more, you know, the more engaging sidewalk along, you know, on the other side of the road where you have some trees and plantings. And, yeah, I agree. I thought it was more engaging. Not having been at the August 1st meeting, not really realizing how we, you know, the metamorphosis to the latest, you know, park design. But I thought
very,
it looked great.
Also, at this latest one, it's very compartmentalized. It's like, oh, here's the beet patch, here's the big lawn, here's the...
Yeah.
That's what we kind of condemned, you know, the last presentation for in their park was like, you compartmentalized it too much. And although this is much smaller in scope, I think that they can, they're landscape architects, they can do this. Mm-hmm. This is...
Yeah, and I think the notion we have to have a fence because there's going to be unsupervised play with toddlers and little kids dashing out in traffic. This isn't 35 mile an hour traffic zooming by here. There's no parking in the way of
the
kids.
I love
the kids
benches so that moms could be out
sit
there
and
with
watch.
Their kids.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and especially I like the benches on the, you know, hard surfaces so, you know, older
mm-hmm.
people could just sit.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's still room to play catch
yeah,
back and forth.
The entire age gambit should be very inclusive in something like this.
Yeah. Does that help? I think what I was hearing was just that image on 1525 with the trees on both sides of the driving was a much stronger stronger sense.
And I do think you should have something in the middle so people can cross in the middle of winter without getting their feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logical place.
It's
and
not
you
just the, you know, cross corridor trying to get across.
Neighbors
right.
going
just
back
neighbors.
And forth. Yeah. I mean...
And I just was thinking this, does the Postal Service have some rule or requirement that the mailbox has to be way up front versus midpoint? Or, I mean, because I can see if somebody lives way, 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 way back on the south, they come in and they stop and park illegally to get out and get their mail right away if it's way up front versus parking in their garage and walking halfway back through the you know, project. Because this,
like if it's in the center,
yeah, this scheme that we've got here, it's you know mailboxes and maybe 10 feet away is the fire pit or something else, and it's more of a gathering place. That you know, you can do the active space way up front where doesn't need to be a mailbox. But I don't know what the Postal Service, what their rules are. I know they have to have ganged boxes now instead of individual stuff.
I would recommend the applicant contact the post office. And make sure their plan has at least been reviewed and approved. Because
yeah.
You're right.
I think we cut her off.
Yeah, we probably did.
Well, only that I agree that the trees on the perimeter and the this is more successful in the image that was in this SketchUp model as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to the extent that we don't lose parking, and I think we don't lose, if we keep the 17 up front, we still get 16 around this page 15, 25. Park, if I'm reading it correctly. So, okay. Any other questions for us? Okay. So we probably look at calendar for continuation.
Yeah. So obviously the next DRB meeting would be too quick. That would be October 3rd.
So when is Public Works likely to?
I don't know. They're waiting on information from the traffic engineer. I, Do you have any idea, Jeff? Have you heard anything from your traffic engineer on when they might have this stuff to attain?
I think it'll be relatively soon, but I don't, probably not October 3rd. When is the next meeting?
No, yeah, so the next, well, that's what I'm saying. October 3rd would be, I mean, the PACA would be due like next week, so.
Right.
Yeah, so that's too quick of a turnaround. And the next meeting after that would be October 17th. Would that work for
you? Is that doable?
The packet, I would need the packet probably by the 6th of October. We got to send that. And after that, we'd be looking at November 7th.
Maybe the 7th is the best, just because
okay. The
property next door, I'm dealing with kind of a private property owner, so I don't know
exactly. Oh, with the Subaru?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, well, so
okay.
November 7th.
November 7th, okay. Yeah. So I would entertain a motion to...
With packet due what day?
I move that we continue.
Packet would be due, well, so I got to send it out the 31st, the 27th of October.
Okay, so packet due the 27th and meeting on the 7th of November, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have to move that.
I guess we don't have to move that, do we?
What's that?
Josh.
We don't have to move for continuation.
I don't think
so. No,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. John, we don't need to move for continuation, correct?
You do.
We do?
Yes.
Okay. So
I move that we continue the meeting to November 7th.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We continue the Design Response Conference to November 7th, 2016. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. So it passed. Okay.
You don't need to continue.
yeah.
Keep sitting here.
Yeah.
So we have no administrative reports. Any discussion we have that needs to... I'll say Jeremy. Oh, it's John. Okay, let's
move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. We are adjourned.
Get home before 10.
Wow.
Well, yep.
4-hour meeting.
Not bad. All
that was a
That's
lot.
Right.
Of,
it was almost 4 hours.
That was a. There was a lot of meat in this one
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah. So thanks for raising the east and west. Have a little sense of that.
Yeah.
And for me also, was saying that
we
had to be a public.
We see it from 116?
Wow. Yeah.
It's as public as it gets.
I know.
From 116?
Yeah.
It's as public as it gets. I know. We see it.